come back after the weekend, and we'll dial you in with all the pre-election coverage starting Monday, October 3rd on the Humble and Fred Show.
Yes, what can Donald Trump do wrong this weekend? I can't wait to find out.
He'll have his head extracted from his own asshole.
He'll pick his nose.
And eat it. And then flick it at what's-her-face.
Skillery.
Skillery. I couldn't think of her name. Send me that.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country Pizza Pizza. FYI music.
Excuse me, Phil. Mm-hmm. Would you be offended if I just took that from you?
Yes.
And handed it to this gentleman? Would you mind?
Here. Yes.
Okay, hang on a second. Here we go. Are you ready? What's that?
Does he want to proofread it first?
No, it's better. It'll be better if he doesn't.
Do you know sign language, Dan?
Okay, help me.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
This episode of the Humble and Fred Radio Show is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, the Retirement Sherpa Squatty Potty, and our newest sponsor, Fix Me Stick. Really?
Hey, Phil, does that give you a boner when you hear it?
And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the 5-Hour Energy Studios.
What is he doing?
I don't know, but it's impressive.
Oh, yeah. Think of.
He, you know what? He knows where to hit it.
Eh? No, he's you know what he's doing? He's giving us the full business. Continue, please.
More Humble and Fred.
No, that's the end.
That's what you handed me. I'm just reading what I have.
Did you hand it?
It's wrong side.
It's the wrong side. All right, let's try that.
That's
again.
Not his fault.
No, that's completely not his fault. Just get to the end of the part where
the
if you want to.
Of the 5-Hour Energy Studios.
Yes.
If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-855-662-4743. That's 1-855-ON-AIR-HF.
And for old time's sake, you might now say, and now here are two men. That's everything.
Oh, yeah.
And now,
here are two men who love each other like brothers. It's Humble and Fred.
There you go, everybody. How'd you like that for a little throwback Friday, people? That shit just happened.
That's, when did you leave? 94? Left CFY in 94?
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah.
So what is that? 22 years ago?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I love how you put that, though. Mm.
What's that?
When
what
did you
put?
Leave CFY?
Why?
It's nice. It's soft.
Well, he left on his own accord.
Did he? Yeah. Did you leave on your own accord?
Somewhere in there.
All right.
His freelance career was just fucking taken off. So what did he need this shit for?
Interesting. That's not how I remember, but that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Okay.
Delicate.
Anyway, Dan Duran is here, everybody. Look at that. Woo! Dan Duran. Look
Danny.
At the Dan Duran. Dan Duran.
I stayed at Howard's place last night.
No, I know. I understand you're acting as a consultant for the move.
Yeah, I did a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Just hung out. You know, Howard's place is, you'll find this in the studio. It's very nice what he's done with the place, gotta say.
Oh no, I've been there, Dan.
The odd thing, have you the light
thank
switches,
you by the way the light switches are fucked.
It's weird.
They're all over the place,
especially the ones that, you know, when you go downstairs there's supposed to be a light switch at the top and the bottom of the stairs. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's pretty dark in his place even when it's light out. And there's
he's talking about my townhouse, not my mind.
Get around that. Very.
Get it's around. Dark in his place.
Switches are everywhere.
You can get around that. We can get around it very easily.
Well, what's that? Flashlights?
Clappers.
That's not a bad
idea. We'll outfit the whole fucking place with clappers.
That's really.
Yeah. There's probably an app or something we can we really need to collate or is that what the word I'm looking for?
No, not collate what?
All the lights are everywhere.
Aggregate?
Aggregate. Thank
would
you.
Be, like thank you. In order. Which
anyway. Yes, Dan Duran. So this morning, I pulled a tiny prank on Fred. Did you like that prank?
Oh, yeah. I'm still reeling from it.
So, every morning, I walk up the stairs, and I get Stan to walk next to me. And then once we get near the door to the office, I always say, Fred, are you ready? And then Stan takes off around the door without me, and Fred sits in his chair, and Stan jumps up on Fred and makes love to his face.
And often his dick ends up on wiping my mouth. Happy to report that didn't happen with Dan Duran.
Well, don't get ahead. Don't get ahead.
Ahead of what?
I didn't tell what the prank was yet. So normally Stan does that. Today, what?
Okay, go ahead.
Today I said to Dan, let's go up the stairs quietly. I told Dan what normally happens. And I saw you heard what Fred heard me is, hang on, Stan. And I go, Fred, are you ready? Fred said, yeah. And then Dan Duran galloped around the corner. And jumped on Fred and licked his face. And what did you think when you saw the great Dan Duran scampering around instead of Stan?
I thought it was nice because Dan always has that pleasant smile. Dan Duran's a nice person to be around. He is. He's just very pleasant. And when he turned, coming around the corner and I saw his face, I thought, no, I had a nice feeling. You know, it could have been somebody else. And I thought, oh, fuck that asshole.
Yeah.
But not Dan.
Like when you see me every day. It's a job. Relax. Just stop making that face. Boy, man.
Do you really think that?
No, not at all.
I think you do.
No, I don't. Do you really think I think that? I think you do.
I think that you think that.
I think that you think that.
No,
and I fucking don't.
No. Whatever you said with one more, you think that.
Okay. Whatever you said with two more things times five. When you saw him, did you think, Dan Duran is coming around the corner, it's Dan Duran. Who's that coming around the corner, Dan Duran? Who's that coming around the corner? I hope he doesn't put his dick in my face. And then coming around the corner, Dan Duran. What was that question, Dan?
Are you going to say what's coming up on the show or anything?
Dan, you don't understand how free radio works. I mean, Danny. Not free.
Yeah.
On satellite and a podcast, but at this point we have them. Doesn't fucking matter. We have them. They're listening now. Somebody took the time. It was going to take
but maybe
the time.
You lose them. You just let them know what's coming up.
Dan, we don't lose anyone.
We don't lose.
Oh,
Dan.
Silly. No, in normal radio, somewhere in the first 8 minutes, you'd like to say what's going on in the show, but we're just getting started. What's the matter there, bud?
I scooted off the carpet. Anyway.
So we do have an interesting guest today. Thank you for reminding me that I should do that. Ralph Ben-Murgy will be our guest today, and it's going to be interesting for a lot of reasons, not the least of which, another Humble and Fred sort of... some history with us, and another guest will have to begin the interview by apologizing.
See, I can't remember.
Really?
Not like the Aaron Davis, people we fucking pulverized.
It was worse.
Ralph also did some stand-up, didn't he, for a while?
I knew Ralph before I came to Toronto.
As a stand-up, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In fact, the first time, he wasn't doing... excuse me. By the time I'd met Ralph... he was out of doing stand-up, but we had a lot of friends in common, and I came to Winnipeg to do stand-up, and Ralph, our gigs started Thursday, Friday, Saturday, excuse me, and on Wednesdays they often had open mics, and the headliner, in this case was me, came on and did like a 15-minute set, and Ralph hosted that night, and that's how I met him, because he was the CBC guy in Winnipeg.
And why back in the old CFNY days did you beat up on him so badly?
You know, I wish we could go back and
that was a joke.
I know, same with me. Same with me.
But Dan, I was saying the other day in retrospect, you know, that's funny about this country. Because listen, any guy in his position, you know, that did some TV, calls himself a comic, would have loved to have their own late night talk show. And you got to hand it to the guy. He actually got there. Same with Bullard and did it. Mm-hmm. It should have been embraced, applauded, and encouraged. It should have been.
Well, then we should go back in the Wayback Machine and talk to Howard and Fred in their mid-30s.
I know.
And stop beating up on the guy.
Howard, I know. But don't you agree?
I agreed with you yesterday.
I know. Such an achievement. But here in Canada, right?
Absolutely.
Fucking jealousy.
We were jealous and bitter, and we thought it was funny to make fun of Ben-Murgy and how bad the show was, we thought.
Other countries of this size, I'm sure, have their own late-night talks. Like in Australia, there's probably a late-night talk show.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
There was.
Well, what,
yeah, well that's the point.
I'm just
that
saying. Why, we're so influenced by the state.
Yeah, you have to understand, Phil's an expert on Australia.
I know.
Since he went through there once.
I know.
God damn it.
That head retains a lot, Howard.
Oh, my God. And it's spongy. It's a spongy orb.
In fact, I think this is great. You know what I mean? It's a very popular thing nowadays to go back and apologize. Like, the government has to apologize for the Japanese thing, the Indian thing, all these. You know, it's really good.
Are you going to have to apologize to Rob?
This is what I'm saying.
Wait a minute. You're saying some of the things we said about Ben Murgi are same as Aboriginal and Japanese internment camps? Wow.
Well, according to your description.
That's right. I just hope he doesn't have satellite radio. He'll turn around on the QEW and head back to Brooklyn, North Brooklyn.
No, but look how cool we'll look today. We say, Ralph, you know, we regret what happened 22 years ago.
That's right.
Yes.
If we could go back and do it again, we would have supported you, as opposed to being bitter little shitheads.
But unlike the government, we will not be giving you any money.
What was he doing at the time?
The late night talk show.
Oh, okay.
What was it called?
It was called the Ralph Ben Murgi Show.
Oh, he was doing mornings on Jazz.
So here's what happened. He was a CBC guy, had done some stand-up, and somehow or another got, you know, pulled or what's the word I'm looking for?
Yanked?
He got pulled or yanked. No.
Rubbed? Tugged?
Removed?
No, he was chosen.
Oh.
He was chosen as that guy to do a late night talk show.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, instead of embracing it, we just kicked the shit out of it. And I think it had a couple years. And it was fine. As Lawrence, a bunch of guys I knew who wrote for it, Lawrence Morgenstern, a guy that you met. And then he got fired or whenever it ended. And then he did mornings at Jazz FM in Toronto for a long time.
And since we said he was going to be on the show, however we did, people have been writing how much they enjoyed him on Jazz FM.
Yeah.
You know, I went through a similar thing when I did the Sports Zone, and so did John Gallagher when he did that TSN. You know, it was like a half hour, 1 hour talk show.
But that was awful.
No, I know, but at the same time, it was sort of an achievement. You know, you're trying to break through and use these vehicles the way they should be used, and then somebody breaks through and gets a show that we'd all like, and
sure,
we piss on them.
Yeah,
like, you know,
we do.
It sucks.
But not anymore.
No, no.
It's going to be great, though. It's another Humble and Fred apology show where somebody come in and they're all... We've said this a million times. People used to come in here sort of with their hands up in a defensive position like, oh, what are they going to do to me? And we wondered, like, well, where does that come from? And then we forget that every so often we go on a shit rampage against somebody. And that's where it came
from. How bad did we get with it? It wasn't like Aaron Davis, like...
Oh, I recall.
When I read a sportscast and said she won the Queen's Plate.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, it was way worse than that.
Worse?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because we never gave it up. Well, I think we had a bunch of series of names for him, like Ralph.
Ralphie?
No, just we used his name as an adjective for horror.
All right, in case he's listening, let's just move forward.
Well, that's what I said.
No, I know.
We're going to begin. You know, he was like, and I say this with all due respect, he was Jean Gomeshi at the CBC before Gomeshi. He was kind of like the next big star.
Oh, yeah.
He was the guy, and that's how he got the show. And the point is, a couple weeks ago, I saw this article. I think you saw it at the same time, and we both said, hey, why don't we get Ralph on the show? He basically is talking about moving to Hamilton. A few people across the country. It's a suburb. No, it's not a suburb. It's a city about 30 minutes from Toronto, 45 minutes. What?
Don't say that. People in Hamilton get pissed.
I know. Sorry, people.
It's part of the Golden Horseshoe.
Well, it's somewhat near Toronto, close enough that you can live in Hamilton, and some people do, and work in Toronto.
Yeah, like a Daha.
And Ralph is one of a bunch of people I know. Some people that lived in Oakville, guys in their 30s from Club Link that are trying to start a family. So they move to Hamilton because it's more affordable and it's become this sort of hipster place to live. That's why they call it the New Brooklyn, which was the point of the article that Ralph was being featured in.
Mm-hmm.
Guy moved from Toronto, wanted a better life, and went to Hamilton.
Hamilton takes a bad rap. It's a beautiful city other than the steel mills when you see. You mentioned Gomeshi, a dark comment that I read in an article. It was talking about what happened at Strombolopoulos' house.
Yeah.
And it said, a friend, an actor friend or a media friend of George Strombolopoulos was found dead in his home. And somebody wrote in the comment section, Gomeshi, I can only hope.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, fuck. That, they left it on there.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, that's pretty dark, eh?
That's dark
Wishing
stuff.
Death upon that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to wish death upon anyone except Donald Trump.
And what did Donald Trump... We should have a feature. What did Donald do yesterday? Apparently yesterday he had sex with somebody in Cuba.
Have you seen that? Daniel Dale in the Toronto Star every day has an article. What did Trump say wrong yesterday? Or what lies did... It's an ongoing thing every fucking day. It counts up the lies that Donald Trump said. So...
Well, the story, and this came from Dan Duran. Dan Duran, do you want to report this? Trump broke U.S. laws. Now, by the way, I don't. For you people who don't know who Dan Duran is, and shame on you, we're blessed to have one of the. How many movies have you done?
About 60,
Holy
I think.
60 movies. He's
and TV shows.
And Canada's
TV shows.
Robert De Niro.
He is Canada's Bobby D. He's Canada's Bobby D. Yeah, I know. Al Waxman. him.
Al Waxman is sitting at our studio, right? What was the story?
He was referring to having been on been working in New York, and he mentioned Bobby De Niro. and we said, we don't call him that. Fucking Bobby.
Well,
so Dan Duran
Al got his.
Dan Duran.
So somewhere
wait, is also, I'm going to give you credits, also being great, seen right now on a Jay Baruchel film, a series called...
Man Seeking Woman.
Man Seeking Woman, about to do his third episode of this series, Dan Duran
no,
is.
Did it last...
It
hasn't been airing.
Hasn't aired yet. So if you like the series Man Seeking Woman, it's available on, I think, HBO or Showtime. You'll be able to see our friend Dan Duran in that, mm-hmm. playing another newscaster.
Very good.
Every show needs a newscaster, yeah.
Is that what you're playing in it?
Yeah.
So here we go, Dan.
Why would that be any difference?
Oh, breaking news.
Well, Trump broke U.S. law, apparently, while dealing with Cuba. He hired some people to investigate whether or not there was any business opportunities in Cuba at a time when he wasn't supposed to do that. He spent $68,000 with a company that also advised him how to cover up that he was doing that with some sort of charity.
Right.
And now it's been uncovered by the Newsweek people that are finally he's getting some investigative reporters looking into his stuff. Maybe a little bit late in the game, but...
So Dan and I were talking about this last night, and it led to a pretty lively discussion in the kitchen of my new swanky Toronto home.
How do you like his new fixtures?
Oh,
he did. The first thing he said was he was very... I'm going to tell you right now. I felt so good because I showed you around the place Monday, but then
yes,
I got
did.
A bunch of stuff done. I had some Dan Duran approval yesterday, which isn't easy to do.
Well, yeah, he's
loved the fixtures. Love them.
Love the fixtures. What was there before was like a light bulb with no cover.
No, I saw it.
Yeah but that,
and then,
that
and
was
now,
at my
now
home.
These fixtures, he picked them out. They're actually kind of stylish.
When I saw that in the kitchen, just the light bulbs, I thought to myself, that looks a bit stark, but I didn't bring it up because I knew that would be part of the reno.
Yeah, and the dimmers were awesome. I thought that's what I was going to be doing is putting dimmers in myself.
Got it all done. I got a bunch of stuff done. I just wanted to hang with my boy Dan. So Dan and I were talking last night in the kitchen, and I said, because he brought up the story of Trump, and I said, the problem with Trump, and we sort of hit on it a little bit just before the show started, and we've been talking about this all week. Just because your point of view is Donald Trump's an idiot, that's fine. We all get that now. And what I said to Dan last night, let's move beyond that and try and understand why people who support him and vice versa, people that support Hillary on the other side, I think now we need to get to a point. Why do they? Because there's a reason they do. And I think you were, I can't remember if we were talking about this on the air or off, but you know, you're talking about if you're out of a job and you know, you're working hard at a factory, the fact that she's well spoken and can come up with, you know, details about 112 countries don't mean anything to you. This story of him doing some stuff with Cuba will be meaningless.
It was 1998.
To the people that are his supporters.
Yeah.
And that's what I said to Dan
it's
last
not
night.
Affecting their
I
lives.
Said we all get now that, you know, climate change is a thing, but what about let's try and understand why people who don't think it is, let's get to those people and try and figure out what it is about them.
And the,
that we're missing.
You know, there's a whole element to this too when it's the piling on thing. Say I'm on the fence and I'm leaning towards Trump and but you know what, he's a bit of an idiot and I sort of like Hillary. Some people can actually be swayed the wrong way with the piling on. It'll be like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to vote for that guy. This is I think there's an element of there somewhere
like
in the middle.
Like the underdog kind of thing?
Yeah. Like,
but do you think in the right wing world, there's, you know, they see a lot of piling on of Hillary. You think any of them are going to go, oh, you know, they're really being mean to that nice old lady?
Oh, yeah. But it's just that you can't even compare the two.
But if that were, because
if it was that way,
but you're talking about the mainstream media. But if all your media is Rush Limbaugh and Fox, remember the social network that a right wing supporter of Trump would see would only be right wing supporters of Trump.
Yeah. Anyway. Although I'm not, I sure get a lot of left stuff on mine. But anyway, that's besides the point. You know, we won't know till November 8th, and it's I mentioned this yesterday. Lou Skies is who you have said to me a few times, one of the smartest people you know.
Right? Absolutely.
Well, it's funny. He's written a couple of things about, you know, drilling down, scratching below the surface, a couple of economic things that Trump has said that actually make sense. But again, he's a victim of his own stupidity where he can't deliver a message. There's no organization to his platform. Which I don't want to say is a shame, because ultimately you don't want him to be president. However, not everybody's he's not a complete, well, I guess he is. But you know what I mean? It's not everything that comes out of his mouth isn't wrong. But
well,
when you do,
he just hasn't thought it through.
That's
And he's not, you know, the greatest orator. And I read this article yesterday, the day before.
Yeah.
A linguistic professor broke down his speech and why does it resonate with certain people and why does it not hit with others?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why does she seem organized, thoughtful, and intelligent? Well, he seemed whatever the opposites of those are. But to the people who, like, they were talking about the keys of his speech. Things like, you know, the best and beautiful and fantastic. And the way he uses words, even though it seems like a stumble bum to us, there's a reason it hits with certain people.
You know, and we keep referring to that article you sent me last week or the week before, the entertainment. It's, unfortunately, it's all become, well, too much of it has become showbiz. And his inability to deliver the message, I think, is really hurting him from that showbiz standpoint. Because even if there's people out there totally level-headed that want to at least give the chance and say, what does he have to say, okay, before I make a decision? He's not delivering. He's not hitting on all cylinders. And he's obviously not listening to those people that are consulting him.
You know, I think I said a couple of weeks ago after seeing that interview with him and David Faraday, I said, you know, the guy's actually making a couple of good points. And come Monday, I thought, you know, this is a chance for Donald Trump to win some people, maybe like me over. Like, you know, all that bravado aside, here's some solid ideas. But he was worse than I could have ever imagined. I said to Dan last night, I said, after I watched the debate, I didn't go on Facebook. I wanted to have my own thoughts about it until we came in the next morning. I said, there was nothing in my head that I could have ever imagined anyone could see him winning, and yet a bunch of polls had him mopping the floor with her. And that's when I said, well, then all bets are off, because I don't clearly understand the other side.
And what we said yesterday, that article that I read, it tells you all you need to know about polling, where the Fox poll had her winning and the MSNBC poll had him winning, which makes no sense.
But to my point, though, that I couldn't imagine after watching it that anyone could, that there was any world that would have him winning that debate. And yet there was. And that's why I said to Danny, well, now that I've seen that, then it's clear that I don't understand all the reasons that somebody working at the Carrier plant would find that man attractive as a president. I don't get it.
Yeah, but it's timing, too.
But my point is, you can no longer. Right. That's why that guy who did that 40-year predictor of presidential elections saying that everything points to a Trump victory, except there's never been a candidate like Trump. You know, in our lifetime, we've never had such an outlier, an off-the-grid kind of no party affiliation, never served in office. Do you know how odd that is? Like, it's just so weird. But as I said to you last night, Dan, the time for, you know, pointing out how weird it all is over. Now I think we need to figure out a way to understand what it is that makes him attractive to other people. The numbers came in. They predicted 100 million people, like serious Super Bowl numbers. They came in at 84 million broadcast television viewers. But then It doesn't take into consideration the tens of millions of people that were watching it online or clips of it the next day. And just total views would be well into the hundreds of millions. It would have to be.
There you go. Showbiz.
Showbiz.
Showbiz. People tuned in just because they wanted to be entertained. That's why they watched it.
And it was entertaining.
Like never before, people thought, I got to watch this guy.
And you know, we often talk, you do, about the fly-by-night or whatever you call it. What's your phrase?
Drive-by?
But the drive-by, you know, media. People that just get their opinions from Facebook.
And headlines.
And I said to Dan, you know, it's funny because, you know, I was so invested in this debate, and I really couldn't tell you who Obama debated. I know it was Romney, but I couldn't put the election together. You know what I mean? So he was debating Romney in the first election or the second one?
It was the first one, and he even actually won first debate with Obama.
No, the second was
one.
Romney.
Oh, no, it was the second one. I think of John McCain.
First was McCain and Palin. Mm-hmm. The second was Romney.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The point being, if you ask the average person who's really into Trump and really hates him, okay, well, who did Obama debate in 2008? Mm-hmm. They would have no clue.
No, because it wasn't entertainment.
It wasn't entertainment. No. It was just another. That's why all the sort of predictive political models are, you know, don't count, because it isn't a regular candidate versus another regular candidate.
No, it's not. And that's what makes it fascinating. And to tell you the truth, I am just so over the top sick of all this shit. Like I am. It's like, now we're getting into Cuba, and apparently Trump, now what he's going to do is bring up Bill's infidelity as an attack against Hillary not being a strong woman, and on and on and on. It's like, did I mention this to you before? Do you think this would ever work if they did this in the United States and Canada or any democracy, that once a campaign starts, you cannot mention the other candidate?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Wouldn't that be a good rule? Once the campaign starts, you cannot mention the other candidate.
You mean after you're the election? Yeah.
Like a law? It,
yeah. It's all forward. You can't mention the other. You can only tell the people what
your
you're going to do for them.
Right.
Not what this person won't do. Or I know it'll be, there'd be ways around it and everything, but don't you think that would be refreshing? Like, shut the fuck up and tell me what you're going to do.
Like, you know, it's interesting. Michelle Obama was out this week. This goes to show you, by the way, how seriously the Democratic Party is taking this threat. And it is a threat. The Republicans, a lot of them are distancing themselves from Donald Trump, but the Democrats are taking it seriously. This week, Obama was out himself, and Michelle Obama was campaigning. Mm-hmm. And they don't normally, like, they might make an appearance or two as sitting president and first lady, but they're actually campaigning, and this is what I heard. They're campaigning like he's running. Like, they're out there doing, like, not desperate, but whatever that is, where you're very vigorous, trying to make sure this guy doesn't get elected. She did an entire speech not mentioning Trump by name, but mentioning the kind of guy that he was. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very clever.
Well, so did
and classic.
Obama was at Rutgers doing something. And it was he went into this, the same thing. Just talking about morals and this and that. And it was all pointed towards Donald Trump.
Let me ask
very
you a
eloquent.
Let me ask you guys a question. Like, I don't think Bill Clinton, who we all, you know, have this kind of fuzzy memory of, a kind of a kind guy who was smart and sexy with all the sex and the fingering and the cigars and the blowjobs and the sperm on the chairs and the seats. And, you know, we all think of that.
Intern.
Right. So we have this fuzzy. But the fact is, the guy was president, cheated on his wife with a fucking intern, and she stood by, and in some circles that was admirable, and some people find that not so tasteful.
Yeah, but there was more to it than that, too, though. Other women, and they know
all of that. Yeah. He'd been womanizing his entire life and marriage with her. My point is this: why, and this I'm going to sound Republican when I say this, why isn't that fair play?
It should be fair play.
That's just what I'm telling you.
Hey, listen, not only listen, and you know why, but I think I've said this before. You know why it should be fair play?
Because
he did it in the fucking Oval Office too.
This is what I wanted to say.
That was totally disrespectful to the office, to the building, to the thing.
Yes.
And go to the Washington Motel or some fucking thing. Like, That's why it's fair game. And the thing is, for her now to beat up on Donald Trump about the way he treats women, it's like, well, Hillary.
Well, okay, but there,
you know,
but Donald Trump. Again, let's keep that aside for a second. Why? Because some people go, there's no way. It's horrifying that he should bring up her husband. What does that have to do with? What does that have to do with her? Well it still happened. A sitting president was censured because I guess there was impeachment process. I always get this mixed up.
The Republicans tried to impeach
but
him.
But I believe he was impeached.
Yeah.
But the point is, it was a fairly big scandal in the history of the United States of America, and it should be able to be brought up. Now, I would think there's a delicate way to relate that, you know, her judgment in him shows poor judgment in general. But he's got to be careful not to beat up on her too much. But I do fair play.
But it is. But listen, a big issue in this for Donald Trump has become misogyny, right?
One of the many issues.
Oh, one of the many. But fuck, and again, it all depends on who. Like, go on social media and anybody that might even appears to be any. A feminist of any level is, I mean, that's all they care about. They argue that she's a bit of an enabler. Like, she, because she was so interested in power and hunger and wanting to stay
House of cards, man.
With the money and be president one day, leaving Bill wouldn't have been cool.
No.
So it's like, you know, I'll take all he did because of my where I want to go with this.
But do you understand, in this universe, both can be true. He can be a misogynist who treats women poorly and says, look, listen,
right.
It's on the public record that he said that Miss Universe candidate was a fat pig and Rosie O'Donnell. Those are all, but both can be true. She can be an enabler and he can be a misogynist. Mm-hmm. My point is, I began this by saying...
But that's what he'll go after her on. But, that'll be the spin.
But I think, again, the feminists that say he's a misogynist have to understand that this is politics. It's dirty, ugly, and he is going to bring up Bill Clinton's record of being a womanizing philanderer, whatever
he thinks, if anything
Dandaran.
Enters his mind that it's going to help his campaign, he's going to do it. I mean, why would that be off?
No. And the thing, it's American politics.
It's American politics.
You know,
back to Howard's original thing, the big picture, how did we get here, should be examined a little bit more, I think. I don't know. Nobody's going to do
but
that.
We can all,
well, somebody should.
We can all be so holier than thou, because... Years ago, remember I told you what was the party before the Conservative Party, the Western one,
the Reform Party?
The Reform Party.
Yeah.
I got a call one day when we were working in the mix. They actually took me out for lunch and asked me if I'd be interested in becoming a candidate in the Reform Party. And at the time, I thought, oh, this is intriguing. At the time, I couldn't take the pay cut. But, no, but it's true.
Looking pretty good now, Freddie P.
It's true. And I remember DeLise saying to me, you can't run for politics. I said, why? She said, because all the things you've said on the radio over the years are going to come back and bite you in the ass. So go forward in 2016. If I ran, I'd be Fred Patterson. I might be a good prime minister. I might be a good MP. But all that stuff that I said 10, 15 years ago might come back and bite me in the ass.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Like, a lot of the stuff that Donald Trump said on Howard Stern, on shows, trying to get a reaction... I know it's wrong, and it's part of the game, but should that really, really be held against him?
There's an argument for that.
Sure there is. We're talking about it now.
But here's why, and yeah. I'm gonna first let me do some nonsense. Okay? Mm-hmm. First nonsense. I'm debating you for the MPP Brampton South. Imagine I'm Revere Pinder.
Yes.
And I'm debating you. But Mr. Patterson, what about the time that you...
Chaka-hoo.
Is this the kind of man you want running our city? Chaka-hoo-hoo, indeed, Mr. Patterson.
Chaka-hoo-hoo.
Chaka-con.
Chaka-con. This is the man you want running MP.
Howard.
Yes.
Say I'm running for MP in Brampton.
Yes.
All people would have to do... My rival, somebody running against me, would go
Revere.
And get me doing the Chinese accent once, and that would,
or
that would become
it might be this. Mr. Patterson, what did you think about the water?
Puff the Magic Ballsack. No.
Oh, sorry. Mr. Patterson, you sang Puff the Magic Ballsack at the top of your lungs with your Jewish friend.
Oh. Can you imagine all the stuff that could be taken out of context and used against us if we ran?
Puff the Magic Ballsack.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Puff the Magic Ballsack.
And you can hear clearly hear Mr. Patterson directing the Jewish man to sing Magic Scrotum.
Sack.
Oh, sorry. Go, please start again.
Puff the Magic Ballsack lived in...
Ladies and gentlemen... Mm-hmm. I have nothing further to say. unless we'd all like to... Mr. Patterson, would you like us all to sing Puff the Magic Ballsack?
An interesting discussion would be, after all this election is over, is how this is going to affect politics in future.
So...
Like, good question.
To your point about should Donald Trump's, you know, ranting on Howard Stern or his goofy shit that he did on The Apprentice, should any of that be part of the public record? The reason, and I've heard this explained, is he's got nothing else. Then when he always says to Hillary, you didn't do anything for 30 years, but at least she's got 30 years of public service. No, he's got 0 years of public service.
No, and it gets
service.
Right back to what you said a minute ago against Bill's infidelity being used against Hillary. It's fair game, and it happened. So, listen, it all comes down to the people that walk into the polling stations that night and cast their ballot. I mean, just think about what you're doing. Beyond the Hollywood, beyond the entertainment value.
I mean,
because
really,
if I really like Donald Trump, what he said on Howard Stern 10 or 12 years ago does it really fucking matter?
No, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
In the end, for me, and I think I've tried to keep it as open as I can to try and understand how we have friends that think Trump's the greatest and we have friends that think he's an idiot. In the end, I really don't think he should be president.
No. No,
I'm with you. And in terms of will it be a fascinating 3 or 4 years? Absolutely. But I don't believe he should be president.
Mm-mm.
As murky and shady and as Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky as Hillary Clinton has on her resume, I think she'll be a better president. Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly my point. Take away all that bullshit.
Right.
Him fucking around, him saying the stuff on Howard Stern. Who is going to be the best president for my country? That's what you should focus on. And I think, hands down, she wins from that perspective.
Mr. Patterson, what about when you said...
Macaque.
That's not me.
Oh, it's not. Sorry. This is you.
Nudity.
Mr. Patterson, were you having a stroke when this happened?
Nudity.
Hangs by your... See, last week I said, Puff the Magic Ballsack hangs by your cock. I shouldn't have used cock. That could have been used against me.
You know...
Dick would have been better.
Yeah. Okay. And
prong.
See, I, as your campaign manager, I would use this conversation. As you can clearly see, he's a thoughtful man.
Why did I say cock?
That's right. As you can see, he went back and rethought cock versus prick versus cunt. I mean, seriously.
You know, this is a man of deep thought.
He's a man of deep thinker. This is the man you want running a Brampton South, okay?
Fuck off! Fuck off!
Okay. This is what he does. And he consorts with Jewies.
Can you imagine if we ran for office?
Jesus Christ. Jesus.
My house would turn into Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's the other thing I was talking to Dan about this morning on the way in. I saw a clip of Trump on Tuesday or something, or heard it on... He was on the phone with somebody, and they asked him about the breathing in. And he said, no, I didn't do that. He's like, no, you what? No, it was a bad microphone. Mm-hmm. Are you fucking kidding? So, delusional, yes. Entertaining, for sure.
But you know how this stuff just runs wild, too. So now I'm reading articles about Donald Trump going to Studio 54 back in, what was that, the
80s? Late 70s.
Late 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And snorting cocaine. It was like, oh, okay. Well, George Bush did too, and he was president for 8 years. It's just this never-ending reach for whatever you can use against somebody. It's like crazy.
Yeah, and dude, I heard I called you dude. I heard the first 20 minutes of Rush the other day. I didn't tell you this. It was brilliant. It really was.
Oh, he is.
It's so good. He was so smart and the way he made his points, you'd think that Hillary Clinton was the worst person that had ever served the country.
Mm-hmm. How you can take Donald Trump's performance the other night, like Rush Limbaugh did, and talk to his followers, his cult, really.
Yeah.
And if you listen to that from that perspective, it's like, wow, I really want to vote for Trump now because this guy, this entertainer, which he is so convincing. He really is a brilliant.
Well, as I said to you,
he's
brilliant. After watching the debate, I thought, is there any? I didn't think there was any way in the world anyone could spin that. Mm-hmm. But then you hear Limbaugh and you hear Fox, and then a lot of people saw it differently than I did. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you. I'm sure you can speak on your own behalf. But people obviously saw it differently than I did. And to me, as I said to Dan last night, that's what I find fascinating. Maybe at 46, I would have. I said, you know, one of the things I said to Dan is, you know, when you're younger, you get very invested, and I think you would agree with this, on being right and getting people to convincing people of your argument. I think as you get older, at least for me, I'm less invested in having you think I'm right than finding out why you think I'm wrong. And that I think is fascinating to me. Like, I understand the points I can make about what a doofus Trump is, but I'm really more fascinated by why you don't think that way. And I think that's what's problem with our system is not enough of us are going, okay, we get it. These are problems. Now, how do we convince each other or come together to make it sort of better for everyone? I think. Not to be you know, whatever that is. Hey, and Phil, am I too soft now? Have I gotten soft?
And look at a guy like when you talk about convincing, too. Limbaugh. So that debate was Monday. And it was funny the way he said it. He said, oh, I had it on. He said, I was playing with my new iPhone, and I had it on. He said, at the beginning, you know, Trump won, and then it just sort of became a blur to me, and I was making some points. So that debate happens Monday. So between Monday night and noon the next day, he's got to sit there and figure out, listen, I'm a Trump guy. That was a fucking total train wreck disaster. But I, at 12 o'clock tomorrow, I have to go on for 3 hours and turn this guy into a normal person. And he pulls it off. No, he pulls it off for 3 hours. He talks about, that's another thing about talk radio in Canada. You know, every 20 minutes you have to change the subject. Rush will go on there and talk about literally one thing for 3 hours. You know, and offshoots of subject.
You're right. Yeah. Like that. So you heard him Tuesday. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to hear him. I think.
Oh, I heard the whole show Tuesday.
Right. Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to hear him until I think Wednesday. He was still talking about it. So he was into hour four or five of talking about it, and in such detail. But the great thing about Rush, and you can hate him for all the right reasons, OxyContin, hypocrite, fucking idiot, but as a broadcaster, he's brilliant. The fact that he can pull out. You know what he did is he didn't make Trump the protagonist. He made Hillary the villain.
Yes.
He spent most of that, I'd say 80% to 20%, at least the 20 minutes I heard. It wasn't Trump so great. It was a dirty Hillary, had all these names for her. It was very entertaining. Should have called her Villery.
Yeah, Villery.
You know, I think it was on my Facebook page, there was something about Rush Limbaugh, and I made the comment, and I was a little disappointed in this. What a great broadcaster, Rush Limbaugh. Whether you believe him, half the stuff he says, it's like, I don't believe, and I think it's stupid and everything. What I appreciate is how he gets there. It's like the mindset.
Yeah.
And what he has to do, you know, he's an actor. That's what he is. He's playing the part of right-wing, you know, and, right-wing
and
nutball
guy. He's done very well.
And he's done very well.
It's paid very well.
But I remember, you know, one of my first bosses, David Marston, who I really admire as well, you know, challenged me on, oh, he's not a good broadcaster. Well, yeah, he is, David. I'm not talking about what he says. I'm talking about how he fucking says it. And that's the difference, right?
You know, obviously I agree with you. When I first came to Toronto, 89, 90. I was living on in this little house Randy and I rented on Dury Street in Toronto, near Hyde Park, if you're a Torontonian. And I remember coming home and having my lunch at noon and turned this guy on. And I remember saying to her, he sounds like he's doing a morning show in the middle of the day. She said, what do you mean, honey? Because in those days, we were in love.
My love. My love.
And I said, well, because he's the first talk show host I'd ever heard that had done sound effects and updates. And the way he segmented his show, it sounded like a morning show to me. Very entertaining. Even then, I didn't really agree with what he was saying, really understand it. But I got that he had this show and that he didn't take calls. Like, sometimes I'd listen for 45 or 50 minutes and it would just be him. And I was fascinated by the fact that as a monologist, he could do that. And phone calls.
Monologist?
Yes.
What's that?
He's a minor.
He's an ologist.
Yeah, you don't know, Denny. It's a certain sect of society. But my point is, you know, many, and I used to tell that to people. I'd say, you got to listen to this guy. And once he became very popular, people could understand why I admired him. Mm-hmm. I said, forget what he's saying. It's just how he does it.
Oh, even, same thing with Howard Stern. No, that pig, he's just ignorant. No, he's not. He's smart. He's fucking smarter than everybody else. That's the difference. And how aggravating that is for broadcasters who, you know, sit around an old dining room table and...
Is that you're talking about us?
Yeah.
All right.
Try and sell their wares to whoever will take it.
Oh, I know. You know. So, you know, all of this would be just great if we were super popular.
Oh.
That's all that's missing from this picture. If we were just super popular broadcasters, all this ranting and whining and crying would make sense. Come on back in a second. It's Humble and Fred Radio around North America, around the world. At humbleandfredradio.com, we'll get an update on the, not only the Shitter Fund, but one of this country's great newscasters slash renovators will give his opinion on the brand new construction of the Humble and Fred storefront studio poop area. And we'll get Dan Duran's opinion of the renovations. It's, come on back, Channel 168. Since we have world-famous announcer Dan Duran in our studios, maybe it might be
take
cool.
Advantage.
What's that?
We should take advantage.
You might say, and now back to the Humble and Fred Show. That's everything.
Okay.
Do anything else you want.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome yourself. Congratulate yourself for listening to an incredible program. Here they are again. It's Humble and Fred.
We really thank you. Mm-hmm. It was funny during the break there.
Oh, hang on a second.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Barks. How you guys doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, Amanda Barker.
Hello, Amanda.
What the hell? Hey, Barker, did you hear Dan Duran in the studio?
I it's like he's the pokeroo. He's only there when I'm not.
So when you speaking of pokeroo, tell me that
his dick's poking through.
That's right, mm-hmm. Poke it through. When you hear Dan Duran's voice, does that make you, does that tingle your dirty parts?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Does your woman area get angry?
I don't get angry. I just get soft.
You get who?
Soft.
Well, no, I was, you know, I like to say that women's parts can get angry because they get all engorged.
Oh, Jesus.
Inflamed.
Howie, howie, howie.
You know, you get all swollen down there in your dirty parts.
Oh, howie.
A baboon? It's really, really hot.
Dan Duran. Hi, say hi to Amanda Barker.
Amanda, how's it going today?
Hey, yeah, totally. Totally anger, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It makes your flower bud.
You want to put plastic on your seats.
Mm-hmm. Are you driving somewhere?
Yeah,
like an
driving.
Italian Nona. I am. Does it sound very drivey?
No, he sounds great, actually.
Oh, good.
Hey, what are you doing tonight?
I have a reading. I have a play reading.
Oh.
And I have an audition for a series.
Tonight. Tonight you have a series audition.
At 6.
All right.
After that, I'm just going to
because me and the Glassman girls are going to be downtown going to a show.
Wait, what show?
Natasha Leggero.
Oh, nice.
And they're bailing on me. It's funny because last Friday night I took the two of them out to a show, and then we all had daddy-daughter-daughter dinner, and it was great. It was really warm and fuzzy. And I said to them yesterday, I said, hey, we're you looking forward to going to see Natasha. They go, oh, yeah, by the way, when we're done, we've got plans. I'm like...
I love that I'm your third daughter.
Well, I was thinking that if I'm going to...
I'm the one in the attic.
That's right. Anne, come down. I'm scared. Listen, do you want to hang out a little bit? I can come by. I can swing by your hood on the way back to mine.
Possibly. I just got to figure out what time the... I'm just reworking the audition because I got to figure out what time the reading's done and all of that.
Whatever.
But
all
I
right.
will text you.
What are you calling for, by the way?
I need to let you know that Ralph Ben Murgi, broadcaster and Sabbath studier is not coming in after all. I'm so sorry.
What?
His back is spasming like a man, like men's backs do. And he got in his car. He tried to make the drive from Hamilton. This is a true story. And he had to call me from his car and just tell me that he couldn't make it. And I
really
said, no problem, and we will reschedule. I hope that's okay.
Does he have Sirius XM?
Yeah, a couple questions. Does he have satellite radio?
You know, I don't know.
Because we're a little concerned he heard the beginning of the show and then thought, fuck those guys.
Fuck those guys. Did you?
Did he Lee-Aaroned it? I don't know.
Yeah, he may have Lee-Aaroned the shit out of us.
Although she actually tweeted today.
Like, did she?
Yeah, responding to a tweet.
So
well,
she,
to be honest, Rolfenberg is somebody that you could ask, are you relevant in Vancouver? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I don't know what I did to her, because before Fred disturbed her with his, does anyone in Vancouver know you question, I don't know what I did that Lee-Aaron thought to call me a dirty, rotten provocator.
I feel like that was a compliment.
Okay.
Right?
Sure. If you say so.
Well,
I don't know.
She left here. See, I didn't get the vibe that you did.
Like when you asked her, does anyone in Vancouver know you? She looked at you and went, is that a question?
No, I know. I know.
And she said that's a weird question.
Yeah, like, no, and she said, no, is that really a question? And I, yeah. Yes, it was probably, you know, not one of my greater moments, but I mean, fuck, get over it. Jesus Christ. I don't know. Fuck. When Lee-Aaron was like a superstar, he wasn't on my radar.
Yeah, same with me.
Seriously, and I just thought, oh, is this a regional thing?
Thought
she was from the area?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Amanda, I thought she was a chick from the Press on Nails. Anyway, well, thank you for that information, Ralph Ben-Murgy. Hopefully rescheduling.
Hopefully, let's start a fund for him. Hopefully his back gets better.
Back spasms.
I really was hoping he would do a help you guys with a shitter drive.
Yeah.
Hey,
well,
okay. So should I get back to him on another date, or are you going to?
I told him I would. Right. I've been back and forth with him. So, yeah, it's fine. We'll get him in next week.
And Bark, you don't feel any pressure. I was just saying, I could swing by your hood there on the way back. If you're not available, it's fine.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Great, I'm going to my big night out. I'll be going home at 8:45.
And now she's got to spend the rest of the day thinking up excuses.
Yeah, I get it.
No, okay. I have a reading at Second City until 5, and then I have to rush to an audition. And I don't know if the reading will continue after 5 for discussion and dinner. That's the thing.
All right.
So,
Fred's right. Fred's right. You're just ghosting me already. You're like, oh, no,
I'm
Howard.
Not ghosting you.
I can't. All right,
spasms.
Sweet girl.
We're used to it.
I've got spasms in my lady parts. All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Love you, Barker.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. That's Barker.
Well, aren't we lucky that Dan Duran happened to show up today when Ralph Ben-Murgy bailed on us?
Let's do an in-depth interview with Dan Duran about his career and his reno. By the way, I want to get Dan's take on our shitter fund, and maybe Dan can help us raise some money in this next hour to fund the shitter, because he's seen the work that's being done.
It's not done yet.
No.
It's coming along.
But first, let's take a second and talk about this amazing opportunity for Blue Jay fans. Even though the Jays are on the ropes, this is the weekend, the last weekend of the regular season. And Pizza Pizza, as always, is on top of it.
Well, get the Joey Bats special at Pizza Pizza, large pizza with any 3 gourmet toppings and 3 cans of Coca-Cola for just $13.99, hot and fresh only at Pizza Pizza. It's the Joey Bats special.
Hot.
No flip required.
I want to talk about the Blue Jays here in a second. Also, a really cool sports story from the world of golf. The Ryder Cup gets underway today. And I'll tell you why I believe the Americans have to win this for the preservation of the events. For a few months now, we've been telling you about this device. It's a computer virus removal, external hardware-based product that runs before Windows starts, enabling it to remove viruses. Software antivirus programs often cannot. And Phyllis, this is going to be our last Fix Me Stick mention.
Dang.
For a while. They're taking a break, as a lot of advertisers do. Not from us, but some regular radio. So all we can say is they were great.
Absolutely. Your regular computer antivirus
can
hit or miss, and Fix Me Sick is a hit.
You know, and we thank them for their, and you know, sometimes we got an email recently about where one of our sponsors went. And, you know, to be serious for a second, we're like a business like anyone else. And like in regular radio, sometimes people come on for 13 weeks, which is great. And then they take a break and then they come back and they go away and we get new ones. And so a few people have emailed us and me and said, you know, oh, whatever happened to this guy? And we're like, well, what happens to all radio clients? They take
And they go.
Their fiscals are in different times of the year and they have different needs at different times of the year. And, you know, and that's why sometimes we have Sunwing for a couple months when they're pushing holidays and then they're not in the summer and on and on. So just want to say thanks to Fix Me Sick for being such a great supporter of ours. They gave us a great try and hopefully it worked for them. If you want to get a Fix Me Stick, Best Buy, Walmart, The Source, Shoppers, Drug Mart, online at Costco.ca, Amazon.ca, fixmestick.com, and we cannot recommend it more highly than we do.
And in the States, Office Depot and Best Buy.
Phil, thank you very much for your participation.
What if we ever lose him? Oh, Jesus.
Phil was mentioning yesterday that, or was it the day before, Dan, Phil is considered too handsome in Cambodia. I just realized Phil is the Dan Duran of Cambodia. Geez. I'm going to start calling him Phil Duran.
The thing about it is, so Pearl's family looks at me and thinks
that's his girlfriend.
Such good looks that they question my motives. They're like, we don't know if you're going to be faithful to her or, you know.
Well, Phil, this is your opportunity.
Intelligence as a result.
Phyllis, this is your opportunity to speak to a very handsome man about his lifelong struggle with being handsome. Do you have any questions for Dan?
Well, what kind of question?
Well, for instance,
have you ever been arranged in your life, Dan?
You say, Dan, what's it like being handsome? I just found out I was handsome.
What is that word?
I know one area I'm sure they don't measure up.
So really, you're handsome in Cambodia?
In Cambodia. He's a Cambodian Dan.
I guess to them, that group of people, that social group.
Have you been to Cambodia?
I haven't myself, but my mother was born there, which is why, you know.
You got a Cambodian connection.
In some ways, absolutely. Oh. Yeah.
He's going over to Cambodia in a couple months to meet with his fiance.
I've been told to visit my great uncle, and he's basically a skeleton at one of the museums there.
When you enter a room, just say, I'm Philip Hong.
I'm Phil Duran. I don't want to get into emails here, but this is this makes sense. This is from Mike Bertrand.
Hey, amigos.
Just listen to the September 21st show, which was last week. And he says, with shock, you guys didn't pick up on what Phil said at the end. You guys were asking if you could, Fred and I, could Skype with Pearl on air. Phil said, I can't make decisions for her, comma, I'm not her husband yet.
Yet.
Mike says, discuss, dot, dot, dot. And he wonders how long you've known her. Mike, I guess, missed the point of you have been talking to her for like 5 weeks, right?
Yeah, we were arranged by our families.
It's an arranged Skype marriage.
So I went to my mother. I said, do you know anyone with single girls, like friends of yours? And so she happens to have a friend.
And a lot of people would be looking for people, say, in their geographic area.
Yeah.
Say, maybe their own country, not our fear.
So her friend lives in Brampton, but she had a niece who lives in Cambodia. That's where she's from.
And that's Pearl.
So, yeah. Thus, it is an arranged marriage, eventually.
So they're sourcing the world.
That's right. They, like when somebody says, hey, can you introduce me to somebody, like, you know, on Tinder or something, right? Like, you hope, like, when you know you set Tinder's parameters for, like, number of kilometers away, yeah. Phil's Tinder is 3,000 kilometers.
Oh, no, quite the opposite. 12,500 somewhat. I actually counted.
Phil. Is it really 12,000 kilometers 16, away? Jesus Christ.
Phil, you make these references to an arranged marriage. But what on what level? I mean, at some point, they're not going to tell her that they have to marry you, right?
Oh, no, no. It's not an obligation. I mean, the word arranged is very, it's not very specific.
It's not like
very wide.
It's not like some cultures where it's totally up to the parents who they marry.
Well, it's not like on TV where they all sit around surrounding in this big table going, you shall give me a cow, and I shall give you my cow.
Because if you're part of that shit, we'll have to let you go.
No. How come?
If he's part of what?
That arranged marriage shit.
Why would we have to let him go?
Because we can't tolerate that.
We can't?
No.
I'm sorry. 15 seconds ago, you got all crying. You went, ooh, we can't lose him.
Until I found out he was into arranged marriage.
Why? What do you care?
Oh, come on, Howard.
I don't care.
It's just so...
So this is a suggestion.
Oh, okay, so
it's bad for women.
It's a connection.
Okay, but if it's bad for women, that's one thing. But if it's good for us to have Phil, women can just take care of themselves.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
No, I mean, I'm all for women.
No, he explained it's not that type of arranged marriage.
No, it's an arranged
meeting. I just think it's funny.
Arranged meeting.
On Phil's Chinese Tinder, his parameters are 13,000 club. It just kills me.
On my Tinder, it's the infinity symbol. So if I find someone on Pluto.
So Phil's going to Cambodia, Dan. And he is going to perform some of his magic when he gets there on this beautiful young lady.
Like you've known her for 5 weeks on Skype
so far.
Yeah.
And you're thinking marriage already, or is that just a joke?
Oh, no. This is just part of the development.
Yeah, Dan, a good point. Okay. That's good to bring us back to what Mike Bertrand says, which is, you know, Phil said, I can't make decisions for her. I'm not her husband yet. Yet.
Yeah.
Do you think one day this will lead to husbandry?
I think every time I date, I take it very seriously. I think this girl is, you know, and honestly, a really beautiful woman. She's got a great personality. Why else? Why wouldn't you want to marry a girl like her once you know her that way?
Okay. But take this one step further. I can't make decisions for her. I'm not her husband yet. So are you saying if you do become her husband, then you will make decisions for her?
Well, no, not assumptions. No, I'd be able to at least talk to her in that level, at least.
A husband to wife.
Just
right.
To be honest, from Pearl's side, she doesn't want to talk to anyone in English.
No,
she just doesn't believe her language is good enough.
No, but I think what Mr. Fred is saying, or in Chinese, by the way, he refers to us as tall boss. Short boss.
Silo sai. From height.
Now, what would you refer to Dan as? Big cock? What's big cock in China?
Well, we could call him Dan, because for some reason, Dan, in Chinese, we have a character called Dan, like a word, Dan, or
everyone's
Dan.
Favorite character.
Well, what's your Chinese symbol for like big cock, little cock?
Dan. That's your name in Chinese.
Let me
Dan.
See it.
It says Dan on it, basically.
And so it looks like a lean-to...
On top?
Yeah. It's a lean-to with a line through it.
How they came up with that shit, eh? And all the squiggles and shit, and know what it means? It's crazy.
Well, you can say that
the same
English.
Way, though. It's funny to me when you say that because
but we only have 26 letters.
No, but my point is, why did we agree that these letters put in this order mean word?
Yeah.
Why does a W and an O and an R and a D, and then you could do that with any
word? No, I know what you're saying.
We've agreed, we have a societal agreement that those symbols, these squiggly lines, make up the word. But Phil just showed us something that looked like an A with a line through it, and that's the symbol for Dan. What about the fat? Where's his big wiener with tiny balls? Where's that symbol? Also for Dan.
How many? If there's 26 letters in the alphabet, how many symbols are there in the Chinese language?
There's 200,000 to remember. However, may I remind you, you have to combine the letters in English together to form words. You've got millions of them.
There's 200,000, Howard, and we wonder why these people are so intelligent.
How many do you know?
Probably
hey,
50,000.
Don't get, you can't say
I'm not.
Right. You can't say these people are intelligent. Not all of them are smart. You can't be reverse racist and think all Chinese people are great at math, but, you know, a very good percentage are.
How dare you say
we
that?
We would say the other way around, though, because it's incredibly hard to learn English
now,
from another language.
Would the percentage of people in China that aren't good at math be the similar invert percentage of the people that are great drivers?
Chopstick, table, picnic.
Chopstick. These are a few of my favorite things. Let's talk about the Blue Jays, shall we? Hey, man.
They've now lost 3 of 4.
And where are we with the wild carding?
They're tied with Baltimore, who hold the 2 spots. Detroit's a game and a half back. They were rained out yesterday, so that half game's going to
happen. What do you mean they hold the 2 spots? What does that mean?
There's 2 wild card spots.
So Toronto and Baltimore
are tied, so those are the 2 spots.
And that's a done deal.
No.
Detroit's a game and a half back with 4 games to go.
Yeah, and the Jays and Baltimore have 3. So a lot can happen over the weekend, depending on the
combination.
And
the Jays are playing Boston.
Baltimore's in New York, and Detroit plays Atlanta, the worst team in the major leagues. There's
Atlanta.
A very real chance that the Jays, come Monday morning, will be on the outside looking in. They've lost 3 of their last 4 and playing like shit again.
Here's the thing, though. The way I see it, Boston is nothing. They've already locked up first place. So they're going to basically be playing... sort of their minor league staff, kids, their sisters, nobody any good is going on that field.
Well, I beg to differ.
I don't think the ball girl will be pitching.
Baseball is a game that you play every day.
Yeah, apparently.
And you want to, you don't want to fuck up your timing.
Ah.
So they're not going to be sitting these guys down for any great length of time. They might give them the last couple of innings off in
good
each
points.
Game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Jays, they're in trouble.
Jaybirds.
So what place are they in?
They're second place in the division, or tied for second, but that only the division winner advances automatically. Then they have a wild card.
Right.
And they're in contention for that. But anyway, yeah, last night was fine. I hardly watched it. Again, the game starts and you just get a feel right off the bat that it's another night where they can't hit the ball. And last night they had three hits. They had one hit into the seventh inning. It's just aggravating. It's excruciating.
And hey. It becomes a psychological thing, too, with hitters. Yeah. Like, that's one part of baseball, being the batting and the pitching that are similar psychologically to some of the stuff that we talk about on my award-winning golf podcast, Swing Thoughts. Now, I'm joking aside, not that that was that big a joke, but something happens to batters where you start to think there's something wrong with your motion. That's why they have these batting coaches. Mm-hmm. They work on their swing when really... There are just periods when you're seeing the ball better, and they're going through a slump right now in terms of their bats.
Yeah, and what I saw last night and over the past few weeks, September's been miserable, really, is that look of resignation on their face when they strike out, almost like they don't have any answers, they're deflated, they're flabbergasted.
Yeah.
No, I know. And can you just all of a sudden get that back? Well, yeah. I mean, when you're a professional, just like a golfer, all of a sudden it comes back for whatever reason, right? But you just, it's all timing.
The difference
between... You can have a great practice round, right? And then the fucking tournament starts and you suck the big one.
The difference between professionals and amateurs is that amateurs panic in those situations. And professionals know that there is an ebb and flow to a baseball season, to a golf round. You know, one of the things that's wrong with the game of golf for amateur golfers is we only see the best players on television having a great weekend. You know, like when you watch Tiger win all those tournaments, what you didn't see are the tournaments where Tiger, you know, maybe he made the cut, but he wasn't playing all that well. Now, in his case, it didn't happen all that much. But, you know, some of the top players, when they're playing well, you think, wow, I should be playing like that. But that, what you don't see is the tournaments where, you know, Thursday, Friday, they suck. They don't make the cut and they go home. What we see in baseball players is, unfortunately, they play every day and you're seeing them go through. You know what everyone goes
all
through.
It's horrific.
It's a day. Yeah,
that's that's the nature of the beast. I mean, sometimes you get a couple of guys are in a slump and the other guys pull them through. It's just with the Jays, it seems to be collective.
What's part of the thing in baseball though is you see the other guys going through a bit of a slump, so you start trying a little harder, pressing a little bit, and now your timing's off, and then it becomes this kind of self-fulfilling prophecy of doom.
You know what's interesting too? We're talking about the Blue Jays, and you're going to mention something here with golf and. The World Cup of Hockey that took place right here in our city over the last couple of weeks was won by Canada last night. And it's funny, we haven't even mentioned it. And I'm just sort of actually reaching to mention it because I was totally uninspired by it. But, it was the best. People might argue that that tournament was actually better than the Olympics from a competition standpoint because it was the best of the best of the best, where the Olympics isn't necessarily that. And Canada won it last night, and I just happened to tune in at the end when they scored the two late goals and won it. But, you know, when they played the anthem and they passed the cup around, it was hollow. It just didn't... I don't know what it was that this tournament was just too contrived or something. And you know what? Great on the guys, and Canada wins again, and we look super, but... There was just something missing. That whole thing was sort of flat.
The big tournament in golf comes along every couple of years. It's the Americans versus Europe. It's a tournament they've been playing for, 80 years or something. Samuel S. Ryder developed this sort of international match. And originally it was the U.S. against England. And that went on for a long time. And eventually, as European golf became more popular, it became the U.S. against Europe. And for the longest time, it was basically an exhibition match that the U.S. won every time they played it. In fact, the Europeans, I don't think, won very much and didn't really start winning in the modern era until the late 80s. But since they started winning, they've won, I think, six of the last eight. It's to the point now, and I used to love watching, even when I was a Tiger fan, I used to love watching Europe win. because there's a bunch of guys that, you know, a lot of Americans had never heard of that just, you know, stomped the Americans because to them it was fun and they were having a great time and they were all.
And who doesn't like to see the Americans get beat?
Right.
Yeah.
And it was
just true.
No, it was true.
Yeah.
And it was fun and they just won every time and they would sink these crazy putts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was talking to some of my golf buddies this week. I said, you know what, guys, that's over with now. And they said, no, we love watching the Americans. He was like, oh, dude, it's bad for the sport. They've lost so many times in a row now that if they don't win this weekend, it's the competition isn't any
so
good.
So why do you say it's over then?
Well, no, I'm saying the Americans need to win this.
Oh, right.
To keep the thing competitive because it's just been not, it hasn't been very much fun. There's been nothing to sort of get into because they just lose. Here comes the Ryder Cup. They're going to lose. So this weekend, I'm hoping that they do well just because it'll make the next one more interesting.
You know, I mean, talking about the World Cup, the fact that that European team or Europe get in, it was deflating. It's for all those reasons. It's just not fun. You know what I mean?
It's
just, here we are, and the big match was on, but it just didn't seem to hold any water.
Well, like, that's the thing. You know, if the Americans had won last time, there'd be something invested. The Europeans got to come back.
Yeah.
But it's almost to the point now, because a lot of these European players play on the PGA Tour, as well as being members of the European Tour. It's almost like, you know, they're not embarrassed, but when you hear them being interviewed, they're talking about how great the Americans. They're really trying to pump up the American team so that people don't think the Europeans are just going to
steamroll them
again. And on paper, they never look as good as the Americans.
So why don't they start piecing it off then? Why don't they have America against Britain or America against?
Well, they can't go back now. I mean, they've established that all the players that play in Europe are
the
team.
That the very concept of that wants you to see the Americans lose. America against the world, mm-hmm. or America against
Europe.
It's like fuck that shit. Yeah, like you know what I mean. Whoa, the big Americans—they take on the world. Yeah, it sort of makes you want to see them lose.
And it's funny because Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, the two best players of the last 20 years, by a shit ton, have horrible Ryder Cup records. In fact, together at one point when they were the number one and two player in the world, they paired together, got beaten by guys you've never heard of playing with hickory sticks. they literally are playing against some European guy. I'm Pepe from Spain. He doesn't even have his own clubs. He had to borrow clubs, and they're. And he's not even. I made these balls myself, and they fucking beat Tiger and Phil 3-2.
Dribbled by hand.
No, exactly. It's like some. I'm aiming from Wales, and I've got a tam. Here, quick, get me some sand so I can make a tea. Like fuck.
This reminds me of Robin Williams' bit about golf.
Oh, thanks. Oh, yeah, it's just like that.
It is. Everybody sit back and let Howard go on.
Yeah, do one of his bits. You know what? When Howard gets going, it's just like Robin Williams meets Carlin meets Bill Cosby. But it's true. You know, on paper, the Europeans are never like the Americans last time. Their 12 players occupied, I don't know, 30 spots in the top, you know, players in the world. The Europeans are just some guys they picked up on the plane that said they played golf.
You like the golf?
That's
yes,
not
I
true,
do.
But I know what you're saying.
But statistically, even this time, the American players have Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, you know, all the top 1, 2, 3 in the world rankings. Mm-hmm. And the Europeans have some guys, good players, Justin Rose, Sergio Garcia, all these guys. But where they rank, if you put all their rankings on the world golf stage put together, they shouldn't win ever. But they do. They win all the time because they find such joy in the beating of the Americans. And the Americans are in this posture now of they're playing not to lose.
Okay. But you say it's the future. What if the Americans keep losing, what are they going to say? We're not playing anymore? Like, how would it dissolve? Like, you can't just stop having the tournament because one side's losing all the time.
Well, maybe from
disinterest, Well,
it's almost like World Cup of Hockey. Why are we talking about that? It's our favorite sport, right, in Canada.
It's something I learned today because of, you know, sponsorship in sports, the way it's so prominent nowadays, is you said the Ryder Cup was named after a guy. I thought it was Ryder Trucks was the sponsor.
That's good. That's a good bit.
The golf carts are the trucks. Like,
do you want to use Seinfeld? You're like the Brampton Seinfeld, observational and yet current.
Give us a little history then, Howard, on who is Ryder, Mr. Ryder.
I don't have any idea. Just know he's just named a
guy. He was one fuck of a nice guy.
He's a good man. He, gave,
he played golf.
He gave us a cup and rents you a truck. Truck and cups. Trucks and cups. I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. You know who else is doing well? Christine McGee, the best. Amazing.
Order of Canada.
Order of Canada.
That's what she got. Sweet woman.
Yeah, man.
And we can say, right? I mean, sponsors come and go. This one...
Oh, yeah.
Came and is not going another year.
Yeah, we can tell you that this just happened yesterday. The magic of our sales department, Sleep Country Canada. One more year on the Humble and Fred Show.
Right through 17.
That's a 1 year, my friends.
Giddy up, giddy up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Phil, you should be happy because, you know, the way we look at the company is... Is the rent paid? Is Phil paid? After that, mm-hmm. it's just gravy, my friend.
Okay. I sleep in a self-conceived
wait till we, when we're putting away some money for the goat for your dowry or whatever it is you need.
Or maybe goat. Insert a mattress.
All right.
That would be great.
Okay. I did a Sleep Country commercial a little while ago.
Did you?
Yeah. One of the cast of characters because they've gone into a newer, higher level of advertising, right? So.
Right on. So that's where you come in when they get into a higher level.
A higher level. That's right. I'm at the higher level.
Yeah. Hey, go to sleepcountry.ca. Check out their Save on Sealy sale, okay? Incredible deals on exclusive Sealy Optimum mattresses. You will not believe the prices. This is high quality box springs mattresses. They've got it all at Sleep Country Canada. And of course, when you get there and you want to talk about Sealy, first you want to talk to a sleep expert who will put you onto the right Sealy. The one that'll help you get a great night's sleep. SleepCountryCanada.ca. Excuse me, SleepCountry.ca. Sleep Country Canada. Why buy a mattress anywhere else? I believe I
can share. And also returning, we made this announcement yesterday. We're so proud and so happy that Squatty Potty is back, ladies and gentlemen. Go to SquattyPotty.com. The original Squatty Potty. Healthy colon, happy life. The smartest invention ever, according to many. Can't live without this, says a lot of people. A lot of people.
Some of your friends say that.
If you don't know what it is, it basically is a device that you... That fits neatly underneath your toilet. Your knees go up in a correct colon position. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things you really their mascot is a unicorn that shits soft serve ice cream.
And, really?
Yeah.
No.
You never seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it's basic human anatomy. The puborectalis muscle. Mm-hmm. Is the thing that keeps you from just letting your excrement go. Mm-hmm. When it's kinked like it is in the normal North American posture, you don't get the full-on evacuation.
Oh, the evacuation, yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised a hippy-dippy-doodle guy like you hasn't got nine of these. How you know?
And stacks them on top of each other.
No, exactly. Like, seriously, and he has to have a net for his dink. if you get Dan's knees up like that, his hammer's going to hang down.
Oh no!
Flop around like a.
You're saying evolutionarily speaking, we weren't meant to sit on a toilet.
That's right. We were meant to
squat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what happens is the Squatty Potty relaxes the puborectalis muscle, creating a magical water slide, if you will.
Is that a real muscle?
Yes.
You didn't make that up?
You know I'm a doctor, right?
Forgot, sorry. How could I question the great...
How long have you known me? Uncle. How long have I been telling
anything
you?
Anything beyond the love muscle in Dan is no idea. You know?
Yeah. The thing about Dan, people wonder, I get asked all the time, is Dan's hammer really that big? And all I can say is, you know, when he jerks off, he needs a spotter. Hey, open mic. He needs somebody to help him. He can only do up with both hands. He needs down. He needs another person.
What's the name of that muscle again?
The puborectalis muscle.
Puborectalis?
Yeah. Huh. You don't believe that, eh?
It's no, right I just fucking didn't know, there. You know,
it has
today.
To be. They don't make these things up at Squatty Potty.
This is from the Squatty Potty website, and it's also from, you know, year one of medical school. Anyway, get the Squatty Potty. And by the way, this is a good segment. Segment?
Segway.
Segmenting.
Segment.
Excuse me. Sorry. That was, I didn't mean to. I had my magical.
Blend
oh, really? Mm-hmm. Wow. By the way, I was going to pick up Spencer yesterday. I was driving up Dixie Road, and there's a Blendale Avenue. Every time I drive by it, I just make a face.
I do.
I can't help it. I see it, and I go, oh, yeah, whatever. Anyway.
There's a place on Highway 7 just past Peter where it's called Humble's. Have you ever seen that place? It's Humble something. I forget. I'll take a picture of it, and I'll put it on our Facebook. Yeah. People will really be fascinated.
Fascinating.
It's Humble something.
SquattyPotty.com. This is a great segue to our crowdfund the shitter. So here's what's happening. If you go to our Facebook page, you can just click on our thing there. And what we've decided, I basically got confirmation. Everyone who has donated over $100 to our fund, and thank you very much, are going to receive a Squatty Potty. Many of the others at our grand opening will receive them as well. We'll have like a draw and stuff. Our latest contributor, Liam and Sandra McBride. And they say, if you don't raise enough, we have a camping toilet you can borrow until you get the money.
Oh. And look at this. Sweet, you know, great supporters of the Hummel and Fred Show traditionally. Happy to contribute to such a worthwhile cause. Awesome fellows. Looking forward to seeing the hallowed ground soon. Cheers, Chef Mike and Marilyn.
Chef Mike and Marilyn. Two of the originals who made such a
huge... Who were in here not long ago.
Yeah, huge contribution to our program.
And a guy named Grant Graham qualifies for the Squatty Potty. He came in at $100 one day ago. We're doing all right every day, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, Dan, you've toured. Dan Duran, actor, newscaster, contractor, renovator, should have his own show. Where, you know what you should do, Dan? You should do a show where you know, like one of those flip houses shows.
Yeah.
But to make it even more entertaining, because there's a million of those shows, is not only your acumen and your ability, but you could dress up your dink as a character, like put a sombrero on him one day, be like, so what do you think, giant cock? Well, Dan, I think we can make this kitchen into more of a country atmosphere. And maybe I could be the voice of your cock.
I can't wait to audition for you.
Can I be the voice of your dink?
Yeah.
Please. Well, Dan. I think what we can do is we can put some beams across here and then do some things with beams.
Why does it have an accent?
I don't know. Just make it to make it more entertaining.
Salsa style.
I don't know.
Because we're racist.
Mexican accent.
Because we're racist. I don't know, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Honestly, now you go to see Howard last night. You decide that you're going to come in and sit in on the show this morning. Was part of you thinking, "I hope they don't get onto my dick"? Like seriously, I'm Dan Duran, voice actor, actor. I have a certain reputation. I hope they don't start picking away at me because of my big.
I didn't start thinking that until just a little while ago.
We were talking about.
I just want to see what he says. I just love you. I love the fact that we're having conversations. Did part of you think, I hope they don't have to pick on my dad? Like, fine. Like, what do you guys have to keep
talking?
I'm
getting in the car. I'm going to that studio, but really, I hope they stay off my dick.
Yeah, you know, last night we had a pretty good time, me and the How Man, but part of me is like, oh, great. I'm going to come in there and you're going to talk about my fucking dick. Meanwhile, the rest of us be like, please, somebody talk about my dick. Nobody's ever talked about
Nobody
my dick.
Everyone's...
One day I'd like to be in a conversation where guys are chirping other guys. Oh, fuck, you see Howard in that backswing. His cock came down to his fucking knees. Like, fuck.
How much is your shitter going to cost?
Subject change.
Yes.
What do you mean? What's it going to cost?
If you don't like the Mexican character, it could be you as a renovator, and I could be there like a bit of a crooner, like, well, I'll tell you something, Dan. Your dick says, let's put up a crossbeam here.
That's a little bit better. It's all right.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
The question was what? We set the goal at $10,000.
And where are we at?
$6,600.
Which isn't bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, probably before this is all said and done, we're going to cover the costs. If we don't, it will won't be too much stress on the Humble and Fred budget.
Well, I've seen the first parts of the it's mostly done.
It's 85% done.
The toilet seat's not there.
Okay.
Oh. You haven't got a toilet seat
and
yet.
We're waiting on a vanity.
Oh, yeah, that was missing. But the tiling is awesome.
And Chris Brown, the painter, not the guy that smacked out Rihanna, is He's going to be painting that pretty soon, either today or Monday.
You know what? Fantastic. I didn't notice.
Did you flush the toilet, though?
Yeah.
It's a macerating toilet.
Yeah.
It's a very nice maceration. Yeah. But what I didn't
It'll
notice,
be mostly pee in there.
Howard yesterday was farting a lot. Has he been talking about this lately?
I've got some bad gas this week. The whole week has been bad.
And actually, he was
standing
in his patio
doorway. Well, because all he eats is seeds and nuts now.
Yeah, but something's changed.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually telling him, Dan, what I was doing last night.
He was, so he has a sliding patio door, and we were talking in the kitchen, as, you know, people do, and it was just so constant that, and he was wafting away his fart, and I was standing
horrible.
He just backed up to the sliding door and closed it as much as he could on his back.
My body. I kept my ass out of the kitchen. And farted outside while still being in the kitchen.
So you were controlling your emissions.
I was trying to.
I was thinking that, you know, when we go back there today to do a few, you know, things around the place, that we'd get him one. You know those expandable dryer hoses?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
They're coiled and they're white and they're plastic.
That's right.
He wants me to have one of those.
Put it around the back and just
ram it up his ass and have it
vent it outside.
I get it. That's good.
Yeah, it's funny because I was going to say he checked out our new toilet and he flushed it with his cock.
Dan, the other guys use their foot.
No, exactly.
My point was, I didn't check the fan in the toilet.
Oh,
yeah. Is there a fan?
I don't think there is.
With a high, you know, what do you call it, CFMs or CPMs?
I don't know.
It
is.
We're working on it. You bet. When you were at Howard's last night, were you drinking alcohol? Do you even allow alcohol in the environment now?
I allow people, if they have alcohol, into my home. Why not? He drank.
Well, you might be tempted.
Really?
Oh.
Interesting.
We don't want that one.
No, why would I be tempted?
Well, you never know.
You don't think I see alcohol every day?
I don't know.
You don't think I can just drive over to the alcohol store?
No, were you drinking alcohol last night, or were you just smoking your marijuana?
I had alcohol at the restaurant. We had a lovely meal at the restaurant. I had two glasses of
bubbly. And then we came back after, and we puffed the magic's ball sack. Okay, listen, we got to take a break.
All right.
We got to take a break. I'll come back and tell you this cool story about a fan at the Ryder Cup also. We have to congratulate another former Humble and Fred Show alumni who's got her own show. We'll tell you what that. We come back on Humble and Fred Radio around the planet at humbleandfredradio.com.
And he must be getting his feathers wet. Well, she always seems to be the top. Until she drops you like a rock, you should have been a better friend to him.
It's Humble and Fred Radio. Some of you 100 percenters, Hundy Peas, will remember I played this quite a while ago, for quite a while, Shaky Graves. It's funny how we go through different phases and periods for our transition music. I threw in the Al Green before we went away. I just go through, you know what it is, and someone asked me, like, how do we decide what we're going to play in another of the show? And sometimes it's just whatever's on the computer, I go, oh, this will, like, it has no real reason other than sometimes it's just nice to hear something different, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
What's going on with you? So you guys are going up north this weekend. It's a, how many more weekends of that are you going to be doing? It's supposed to rain all weekend.
Next weekend, we shut her down. Thanksgiving.
And,
shut her down.
By the way, for Thanksgiving, Humble and Fred people, did we decide we're taking the Friday and the Monday?
Yes. I believe October the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
October the 7th. Mm-hmm. We are going to be away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to London, Ontario that day.
Why? Golf.
Yeah, I think so. Playing a golf.
Tourney?
No, just 12 of us are going to go play this really cool golf course. Exclusive.
Great.
So that's and then so we're off the Friday. Thanksgiving is the Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's when you guys have your big trailer hootenanny. Everyone
On the Saturday.
But that weekend is when everyone come on, let's build a fire and let's everyone make some cake.
Interesting accents you've got, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly.
Well, that's
how
what
we
happens.
Talk.
Come on, everybody. Yeah. Let's get a mold.
A mold.
Yeah, let's get some Jello in a mold and serve it to everybody.
My aunt used to make this. It was like green Jello with cottage cheese in it, like a little salad. Fuck, it was weird.
Isn't there?
But it was always
aspic
there.
Aspic or something too.
Yeah, it was called aspic.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
That's what it tasted like.
Yeah. You know, thank you, Dan, because you have reminded me of something I heard yesterday. This is a true story. The following
is a true story. The following is a true story.
Dan Duran.
Mm-hmm.
Please say that again.
The following is a true story.
That may lead to a Humble Howard a comedic anecdote.
That may lead to a Humble Howard comedic antidote.
I said to Dan last night.
Antidote.
I said to Dan last night. We were in the kitchen ranting at one another and having quite an enjoyable
time. Yeah, it was.
Time.
It was
fun.
Yeah.
Good talks.
Yeah.
And we might have gotten a tiny bit on the, you know, Puff the Magic Dragon.
So you are all fucking stoned and staggered
and laughing
around.
And enjoying and having a great
wearing
time
glasses
farting.
With a Band-Aid on it.
That was hilarious.
That's what it's come to. That's what it's come to.
Whatever.
Banging against the wall, your fucking glasses have a Band-Aid on
them. Band-Aid glasses farting out the patio door.
Just...
At one point, I said to Dan,
life's great, eh?
Dan's got tunes playing. I'm in my fucking cool Toronto place. I said, Dan, may I tell you a humorous anecdote? And he says, I would enjoy that very much.
He always has the tunes going, you know what
I'm
saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, buddy.
And nothing wrong with that. No.
He's got this little portable speaker, so when we finally went to bed, we went to bed late, like at 11 o'clock or something. He actually walked up the stairs with the portable speaker still playing music.
You take the portable speaker even to, like, a night like last night?
Yeah, because Howard doesn't have any good speakers.
That's not true. I have the exact same speaker you do, basically.
No, you don't.
No. Is that the one you got at iTex?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No, he's got a little JBL thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not good enough. It's a nice speaker.
My JBL or not that good?
Well, it's about the same, but I've got the Bose.
No, mine's not bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
By the way,
I have a JBL. I didn't have something that was created out of cardboard. I have a pretty nice JBL speaker, but it's not good enough for Dan.
Oh, believe
that's
me,
the
I've
point.
Been there.
It doesn't take much to bring it along. And,
no, I know. And it was welcome. Plus, he had the Spotify going, and we were, you know, with Steely Dan, then we had the Randy Newman. It was beautiful.
You know what he told me one night? And I think I told you this. We were sitting in front of my place at the fire. This is at the Tin Palace. And my speakers came up, and he doesn't really approve of the speakers I have.
No.
He said to me that speakers like that almost aggravate him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember you said that to me that night? It's like, I get a bit agitated when I hear speakers like that because they just don't deliver the sound that I'd like. And I'm like, fuck, I don't mean to upset you, buddy. Rank the fucking wires out if you want. I don't want to be dead. Let's have nothing then, you know?
So it's funny. I didn't even think of the fact that we were sitting there in the kitchen when I was getting him some nice water and lemonade, a little soda water lemonade that I serve.
Really?
And all of a sudden his speaker was playing. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I don't even think of it. But I realize now, in retrospect, it came out with the speaker because he doesn't like my JBL speaker, wireless speaker, which is very nice.
Was it the Bose you brought?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They sound good.
Yeah, they did. It sounded great.
No, I know.
The extra $100 you spent on the Bose.
But here's the thing.
They've gone up to $219 at Costco.
Really?
Got mine for $189.
Where are they?
Yeah.
Costco.
Fuck.
You can bet. The Costco near you, you can go over there for $219. You can get the same thing.
But do you understand? If my speaker was playing and the Dan Duran Bose speaker was playing, it would be completely lost on me any difference. Like, it wouldn't matter to me. It's not a priority for me.
I bought three of them at once and compared them.
Of course you did.
He even bought one that you could, in a swimming pool, it would float beside your head.
Of course. But here's the thing. We're just a few weeks away from the beginning of Tinder season. My speaker is plenty good enough for when I do my kitchen, you know, courting, you know, where I get all sexy in the kitchen and say, hey, you want to see the rest of the house? And, of course, what I mean is, can I put my pee-pee in your vagina?
And the thing is, it doesn't matter, eh? Because... once the screaming starts, who hears the music, right, Howie?
Yeah, you mean the begging.
You got to go up two floors.
You mean the begging.
You got to go up two floors to close the deal now.
Ah, the deal is closed. By the time they get to the kitchen, the deal is closed. So.
Oh.
See, there's an advantage you have. You can be on the second floor and still be fucking in the kitchen.
Exactly.
it's funny.
So, here's a true story that actually happened yesterday. Dan Duran. This is your story. This is my anecdote.
Oh, and here's Howard's anecdote.
This, I didn't tell you this. I was in Shopper's Drug Mart yesterday looking to buy some new glasses. Because I know I can go to Costco and get 14 for a buck or whatever they are. I don't fucking care. They look they look fine, but they, you know, they're cheap reading glasses. What I like about these glasses is they don't look like reading glasses. They look like kind of cool glasses. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at some Foster Grants. And they're pretty expensive. They're like $35 and you know, they look better, but I didn't want to spend $35 either.
Really? $35? It's expensive?
Well, it's...
For readers.
When you lose them at the rate of once every 10 days.
These buddy boys on my... The three of these for $20 at Costco.
At Costco. Yeah,
those look nice.
Yeah, they look fine. Yeah. Although I don't really like the dark rims anymore. I want lighter rims.
No, but Howie, you can... They have brown. They have lighter, like in between. Okay. They have different styles. Come on.
So I'm sitting there for quite some time. I knew I had just talked to Dan. I knew I had an hour to kill. So I'm on my way home from taking Spencer somewhere. I was on the Queen Street, Queensway there, Shoppers, whatever. And I'm taking my time, which is not normally what I do. And in the distance, just over in the pharmacy area there, I hear someone going, Asvind, Asvind. I'm like, what the fuck? Asvind, Asvind.
Really?
And, yeah. And this East Indian woman is asking for Asvind. But I'm fucking laughing going, you realize you're saying ass wind. That's what it sounds like because I have the farting problem right now.
Oh, yeah.
Asvind.
You do.
You should have said, hey, bitch, the Beano's over there.
I should have said what? Hey, bitch, the what?
The Beano is over there.
Oh, I thought you said the Beatles.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You
said
Beano.
I thought,
Beano.
Hey, bitch, the Beatles are over there. What the fuck? That's happened to me.
Beano.
That's happened to me all the time now.
Yeah.
What?
That I'm not hearing what people are saying. I think I'm going deaf.
And I think it may be easy.
I thought I said Beano. I'm sorry.
But did you not think it sounded like Beatles? It
sounded like Vino, like in one.
Okay.
Asvind.
Seriously, I can't. I'm like Trump. I can't fucking deliver the message.
Asvind. And I'm sitting there thinking, I can't wait. This woman, I don't ever want her to stop yelling, Asvind.
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 It's like, I wanted to go, I got Asvind. I got your Asvind here. But I didn't think of
so
saying,
childish.
Hey, bitch.
No, I know.
Hey, bitch, the Beano's over here.
Okay, that just came to me.
It's good. I like that.
When,
And this has been Howard's comedic anecdote.
Thank you, Dan Duran.
When Howard, or when Danny was a player, hockey player, years and years ago, he was probably 8 or 9, there was a kid on his team named Zamvig, and his parents every fucking week, go Zamvig, Zamvig, go Zamvig, go. And it became a thing in our family. For years after that, we'd be saying, go Zamvig.
Go Zamvig.
Go Zamvig, go Zamvig. But, you know, to the point of like, fuck, it would be game day, and I'd be thinking, I have to go and sit and listen to this woman fucking yell, go Zamvig all afternoon.
Yeah.
A fucking drag.
There was a guy.
Hey, bitch.
Hey, bitch. Wow.
Yeah.
Fuck, you're so street. Hey, bitch, I got your Zamvig here.
Yeah. Anyway.
There was a man who his daughter played on my Charlie's soccer team. And I'm trying to remember her name, but the way he used to yell her name, it was almost like, Rory! Rory!
Isn't that funny how that stuff can wear on you?
Oh, fuck, it was crazy. I don't know if her name was Rory, but something like Rory.
Yeah.
You guys should have a seminar and coach people on how to...
how to be.
If people could just live like us, Dan.
Exactly. I was going to say that. If you have ever heard any parts of these shows, basically the theme is, why aren't more people like us? Why doesn't... And then
how dare they not be?
Exactly. Well, it should be, why aren't more people like us? And then parenthetically, why don't more people like us?
Yeah.
Why don't more people like us? Ah, fuck. That's the real question. Number one, why aren't more people like us? Number two, why don't more people like us? Fuck. We're vile. I'll tell you one thing, though. I'll tell you one thing we do. One thing we do is we pass on great information. I'm speaking, of course, of the retirement Sherpa. You might say, and now here's a message from the retirement Sherpa.
And now here's a message from the retirement Sherpa.
With that message, Fred Patterson.
And with that message, here's Fred Patterson.
Why don't you talk to the retirement Sherpa, Tim Niblett? He's a portfolio manager with Raymond James. Get together with Timmy and, you know, you can set up and identify measurable, important goals. And this can be somewhat enjoyable. It's fun to reach your goal. You know, develop a plan, a route, a time-related methodology.
Yes.
With Tim.
Yes.
These are all.
Do that.
These are all the things he promotes, Howard.
You'd be like, "Hey, bitch, get some retirement information.
Get some RSPs."
Are you expecting changes? Have you thought about risks? There's opportunities within a plan.
Yeah.
Talk to Tim, the retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca, Tim Niblett, Raymond James. He's a portfolio manager, and we love him dearly.
Exactly. And of course, and you might now say, and now a word or two about FYI Music News.
And now a word or two about FYI Music News.
It is Canada's journal about the music industry, FYIMusicNews.ca, how to survive the nuclear content explosion.
I like how you dragged that out.
Explosion. How Joni's blew the gat a marriage. An interesting article about Joni Mitchell. So much more. Looking back at the history of promotion. Musical promotion in Canada with Sam Feldman, and It's Your Shot, $50,000 in total prize value. Enter now, and we'll find out who the winner is later on this fall. It's FYI Music News. That'll make another great T-shirt. Why aren't more people like us? And in the back, why don't more people like us? It's
You're
ridiculous.
Right. You should start making these.
So
have a little screen, a silk screen operation next door.
You know what's cool? I've said crank this before about. Pardon me?
You should just crank some out.
What, T-shirts?
Yeah,
we
put
should.
Put them up, see if anybody says
we should that. Do a lot of things. We should do a lot of things. You know, Dan's big, you know what his one big beef about my place is? And by the way, it was weird. Just so happened that Dan was there last night. 4 weeks prior to last night, Dan stayed over. That was our first night. My first night in the new place was just 4 weeks ago. And Dan was there again on the four-week anniversary.
I guess I got to come back every 4 weeks.
I would love that. You know,
really?
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Where did you sleep last night?
I don't know what.
Could you get on that microphone? Is there? Some...
Well, I can't. All right. Is this even the whole time you haven't heard me?
Well, no. I just sometimes
keep
you're,
me lower.
You
I know
be...
you like to be louder than me.
I do not like to be louder than me.
So, okay.
Yeah.
You didn't sleep in Spencer's room. The other room.
We slept in the guest room.
Mm-hmm. The guest room, which was Spencer's room.
Originally it was going to be Spencer's room, but now it's not.
Did you have a nice night's sleep?
I'd had a lovely sleep. Good. I sleep very well.
He does. He's a very good sleeper. But you know what his big beef? From the moment he walked in the place to last night when he walked into the place on the four-week anniversary, he wants to get rid of the wall where the garage is. He can't stand it. He thought...
What wall?
You know when you walk in the back and there's that hallway before you enter the rest
hallway.
Of the hall long? He wants to get rid of that wall. Mm-hmm. Some people have done that.
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
No, I think it was the other way around. Some people built it. Mm. I think that wall was built after.
Oh, well, then it could be easily taken out.
That explains the low clearance.
He believes it should be taken out.
Oh, and that would widen the garage.
Yeah.
Most
so
of
he said,
the garage. The hallways, like,
he expected to come over with sledgehammers last night and sledgehammer the shit out of the wall.
Actually, I brought a crowbar just in case you wanted to.
So you think people, why would people add the wall?
Well, it was a florist shop before, right?
Oh, right.
So that long hallway gets to the residence, and maybe they didn't, you know, for key, because they had key issues or whatever. So maybe they just wanted a special delivery thing.
But I've
that's
seen
a good point, boy. That would, because it's pretty tight in there now if you did that. Wow.
And I've seen it. Out of your vehicle when you get in there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I've seen it in some of the other residences where they don't have that wall, and it really makes a big difference.
Yeah.
It's not structural.
Yeah, so I think we're going to
do
that.
Give it some time, maybe in the spring or something.
We're going to.
You two are going to do it.
We're going to rip the shit out of it. Yeah, we are. Hey. We're going to do it up.
Is it cinder block or is it just drywall?
It's drywall.
Oh, fuck. Easy. Easy peasy.
So that's his big thing. He came in last night. He's like, oh, that wall's still there. Yeah, fuck it is. What do you think? What was I going to do in 4 weeks?
Give the guy, you know.
Oh, yeah. He's
Jesus
all over
Christ.
Me.
He's golfing and he's chasing chicks and shit.
Tinder season. We're 1 month away from really the beginning of the Tinder season. It's right after Halloween. You've seen the decorations.
Yeah.
Tinder season kicks off November 1. That's where the golf season is ending, and the winter girlfriend hunt is underway.
And then it wraps up around December?
March.
Oh, really? You go right through Christmas when there's the whole Christmas and Valentine's thing?
Well, I date through Christmas, and then I sometimes will take a... I'll go and take somebody on for January, Feb. But as soon as you can hit balls outdoors, I'm done.
And he times it around the Christmas. He doesn't want to be with them too long that he'd have to buy them a gift.
No. Right. Don't be silly.
Especially at Valentine's.
No, exactly.
The love time.
No, that one's principled because he doesn't want to give in to the commercialization.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Someone had a great bit about that. I heard it on Canada Laughs where they were saying, okay, we give you presents at Christmas, and then 6 weeks later, we're expected to come up with some more great fucking gifts. Like, fuck. Mm-hmm. Give it a break. We just gave you a bunch of gifts 6 weeks ago. Now we got to buy you more shit?
Fucking an $8 greeting card?
Exactly.
Jesus. Oh, yes.
What do you say? Hey, come on over here, bitch. I'll give you a greeting card. Come on over here, bitch. I'll give you some Beano. Yeah. Where are you?
Yeah.
What? She said she had ass wind.
Ass wind.
Why don't more people like us?
I'm like on the floor looking at glasses. No one hears ass wind. No one thinks that. No one thinks that's weird.
Hello.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, caller.
Who's this?
Good morning. This is your carpet courier. What time are we doing the carpet thing today?
Oh, Mike Muzzin. Geez, anytime.
Yeah, we got Dan Duran here, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we can always use his giant hammer for leverage.
So what are your commitments here today?
I'll bring my hammer, too.
No, we'll just throw them in, and then we can throw them off. Yeah. I would say, what? 9:30, 9:40.
Can you? I got to just do a quick thing for my Irish contract. Can you come at like? Can we do it at 9:45, Mikey?
Well, no problem. I'm just downstairs. I'll be up in a minute.
Because I'm going to put them.
That's Mike Muzzin, by the way, from iTex. The revolution continues.
Because we'll put them in the studio and roll them out. So when the carpet people come on Monday, we can just say, "Hey, can you do those area rugs too, please?" We'll roll them out.
Yeah, man.
That's not where they're going to stay, but
we'll roll them out in the main main floor.
Yes.
Because is this entertaining, by the way?
Hmm?
What?
Is this part entertaining?
Oh, fuck. What are you, program director?
Fuck, seriously?
I was thinking about that the other day. We had a guy in here several months ago. You do this and you should do that. No, we shouldn't because this is our show. This is what we do. We talk about carpet. Take it or fucking leave it.
One of the things we never ask during the show is that entertaining? We've stopped.
Really?
Yeah.
No, okay. A guy in team, you know, the thing, you should,
what you should
talk
do
about
take clips
the shorter, and
of your shirt.
It's like, no, that's not what we do.
Put the clips on some platform. Yeah. Clip.com.
Which wasn't.
It's not a bad idea.
No, we do that. We do that.
There's Mike right there.
But if there's segments of the show where we talk about carpet.
Yeah. Carpet appointing.
No. And people would tell us that you shouldn't do that. And to that, we say, fuck it.
Mike Muzzin, everybody. Mike Muzzin, look at that. Mike Muzzin is here. Mike Muzzin in the here. Mm-hmm. Ain't no party like a Muzzin. Mike party like a Muzzin. Muzzin party. But don't stop.
Wow, you're my favorite rapper all of a sudden.
Hey, and you're looking at a Donald Trump supporter.
Oh, Donald Trump supporter.
Okay, no, I didn't want to
get at the rally tonight.
We'll see you at the rally tonight.
Yeah.
Bring your checkbook.
I didn't want to get the last 6 minutes hijacked by Dan versus Muzzin, logic versus crazy.
You're not on my team? Is that what's happening?
No,
see?
I'm not.
No, see, I thought that would be a lot more entertaining than talking about the carpet.
No.
Call me crazy.
Barely.
Happy pre-Rosh Hashanah, by the way.
What?
Happy pre-Rosh Hashanah.
I thought you were going to say, hey, bitch, what are you talking about a carpet?
Is that Monday?
Russia what? Russia?
Am I saying it wrong? Pre-Rosh Hashanah?
I don't do it. I'm not down.
Okay,
I'm down
with
Monday, the Hebrews.
Right? Is that Monday?
I think it's Monday. Jewish New Year.
Who are Ross and Shauna?
It's a new band.
Mm-hmm. That's the guy that they work with Asvind. Okay. I wanted to talk about this Ryder Cup thing.
Oh, talk about it.
I want to talk about our colleague who just got a new gig.
Yeah, who's that?
Eileen Ross.
Doing what?
She is going to be a full-time member of Josh and the Lady.
My goodness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yesterday on the test. Exactly. Congratulations, Eileen.
Woo!
On the 10th episode, the 10th anniversary episode of Josh and the Lady. I think that's what it's called. It was
Lady.
It is. It was announced that Josh has taken Eileen, and rightly so, as his permanent co-host on their podcast. And I just want to wish them nothing but the best and encourage everyone.
And how often is this done? Weekly? Daily? Howard? A couple of times a week, Howard?
I haven't got Josh's schedule or schedule. But Josh,
is it going to remain Josh and the Lady, or is it going to be Josh and Eileen now? She should get billing in case it explodes and becomes like a regular terrestrial show.
Yeah.
She wants her name on it.
Josh and the Lady tonight. Josh be a lady, love but baby. Anyway, Josh and Eileen, a very special 10th anniversary episode of Josh and the Lady.
10th anniversary.
when he's doing a bit. It's like it's done 10 episodes. He's calling it the 10th anniversary episode. Oh, it's a very funny bit. Yeah. How do you not recognize funny
bit? I'm sorry. Now I get it. But I don't operate at that level.
Scheduling park it.
No, you don't. I get lost. You're at the level of who's Rush and who's Shauna? No wonder. That'll have that will become a very popular. I listened to the last couple minutes of it yesterday, and it was great to hear Eileen and full Eileen mode, and we wish them nothing but the best, right?
And where is it recorded, 100%. Howard?
In Josh's garage or something.
Okay, talk about the golf guy.
I couldn't care less now.
Is this the $100 heckler guy?
Wasn't that great?
That was awesome.
I only talk about it because it was a great one of those cool sports moments. Guy's heckling. He's chirping the European team. They're practice putting yesterday. Some of the best. It's Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson, and they can't sink the putt. And so this guy's going like, blah, 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 I could sink it. And they call him down from the gallery. And Justin's cool. He puts a $100 bill next to the golf ball. It's only like a 12-foot putt. And gives a guy a putter, and boom, slams it into the back of the hole, picks up the hundy, and leaves.
Yeah, I like that. And he did a little celebratory dance. That was pretty
fucking
good.
Hugged every one of the players. It was great.
I know. It was something he'll obviously remember the rest of his life.
But I love it because it's one of those cool sports moments. It's like when a guy gets, you know, you do those halftime things or in football or in between periods in hockey, the guy sinks the shot from center ice.
Yeah, but the difference is this guy is like hugging all the players. Yeah. Where, the other one,
it happens spontaneously.
Yeah, you know, it was great. It was a real cool moment.
Did you put it on our Facebook so people can look at it easily?
I could do that. Sure.
Share it.
I could share it.
David.
Oh, here's a story. I could put this up right. Well, I can do it after the show.
What was the kid's name? Walter Aswind.
Aswind.
Mm-hmm. Aswind. Go Aswind.
Oh, fuck.
Phil, get over here. We got to do the extra.
Phil. God, I love him.
Yeah. But you love him, except if he's in an arranged marriage.
Well, then, yeah.
Make up your mind.
We'll have to revisit.
Lord. Mike Muzzin wants everyone to know the iText revelation is at iText.com.
You just call it a religion?
A revelation.
Oh, revelation. That's similar.
iText revolution.
It's good.
And Dan Duran, where can people see you?
Man Seeking Woman is a designated survivor I'm in.
Yeah. Dan's on TV. He's on movies.
You know, there's other stuff coming up.
You see, go to his website, newscasterhammer.com.
or it could be called Heat Seeking Missile.
Yeah. We'll do a couple minutes for our podcast extra. Phil, say goodbye.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, and our newest sponsor, Fix Me Stick. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the 5-Hour Energy Studios. More Humble and Fred on Monday and online at humbleandfredradio.com.
Yeah, iText has been a big part of the Humble and Fred move. We got carpet cleaners and house cleaners coming in, or office cleaners coming in on Monday. We're also in negotiation with a mover for our stuff from this office. iText is also, you know, it was Dan, actually, Mike, that noticed I had some pleats in my residence that were basically covering roughed-in central vac access, and he said, and that's when I called you. I said, Mike, I got central vac. Can you get me some? Got it on iText.
Yeah, we have an iText member who sells vacuum and vacuum systems, and it
like
worked
amazing.
Out really well. So Dan, thanks for the deal.
Yeah, it was Dan.
Yeah. So right there, I noticed. And 4 weeks later, there's a vac in the
central vac.
Where's the unit actually?
In the garage.
Oh, in the garage.
And it has a muffler on it too.
Yeah, it's got a noise dampening muffler onto the center. This is my point about iText, though. Is so what did it cost me to get central vac in real dollars? All it cost me was the installers, the actual unit, the canister, and two. I got the deluxe one. So I got two sets of hoses, one for the office, one for the residence. All that was done on iText. No out-of-pocket cash for the company. Like, it really is something else. So I got basically central vac for $300.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'd say.
I noticed coming up in the holiday season, too, they have that at Les Jardins, they have the Christmas party thing.
You guys coming?
Where it's a room full of thousands of people, and you can take your actual small business
Yeah, it's a good one.
Staff.
It's really cool. We go every year as well.
Do you really?
We do.
Oh, well.
And it's great because a lot of companies can't afford or don't want
to put their own.
Yeah, put their own. So they go and join a big hall.
I think it's really a great idea. I'll tell you where the Christmas party for the staff is not going to be.
Where?
On the second floor of our office.
I knew that was coming. Yeah.
No party in the Howe Man's residence.
Well, who would even think that it would be?
Some people might. There might be some thoughts.
I had offered the past few years to get like a chef on iTex and do it at my house. But you didn't want to drive out to Brampton. But that's when you were drinking. Howard, yes.
That's not
Howard,
true.
Howard, yes.
Fred, no. Fred, no.
No, you didn't want
to. Oh, fuck.
Let me wrap my mind around this. So
Howard, yes.
So the party is a big party, and then you just bring your office to this big party.
So think
they have a room.
Bringing their
so
own
in
offices.
Theory, think of 30 tables of 10, and each table is 10 people from different companies.
Right.
Yeah, which sounds great theoretically, but you got to fraternize with other people.
Yeah, but how?
And that's where it breaks down for me.
No, it's not too bad. You don't really have to unless you get to the bar area.
Not that.
No,
or you pick up girls on the dance floor.
Not only that. Howard, listen.
Fred, suck it.
Phil, huh?
I took the family to Easter dinner, and it was just we had one table of eight or whatever it was. But you actually start to converse and talk to people around you, and it was quite... And I imagine in a Christmas atmosphere where it's festive and people are having fun and there's Christmas music and dancing that you would actually get to know people.
Let me just say this. Normal people boo.
And that's
I don't
coming
talk
from
to
me.
You.
And that's coming from me.
No, I know. I'd love it. I'd probably be up there doing some MC work. By the time the thing was over, I'd go, hey, everybody, let's do some comedy.
Yeah. It's a Christmas show for everybody.
Exactly.
3 years ago, we had a hypnotist there, and a guy comes up on the stage, dropping right down to his boxers. It was hilarious. Like, room for the people no one knew. Like,
amazing.
It was so fun.
By the way, I saw a picture. Is it Cole, your oldest?
Yes.
He's a good-looking boy, huh?
I know. I made
him.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I made him.
Well, your wife.
Nope.
That was me.
She's just the oven.
Wow.
Things are very smooth in your household, no doubt.
His wife is super attractive, as are his children. And, you know, look at him. You know, he'd be like a solid Etobicoke 6, maybe.
Me or...
Son's a 10.
Right.
But you can see a lot of Natalie and Natasha.
Natasha,
right?
Yes.
You can see a lot of Natasha in Cole because he's just a beautiful human.
Yes, no, he's a good looking boy. Cole. I actually wanted to take a minute, if that's okay. Can I borrow some airtime here? And I wanted to get a little sentimental. I don't know if you want to put some music on or not.
Hold on.
Okay.
What kind of sentimental? What is the subject?
It's appreciation.
Okay. Stand by.
This is appreciation music?
Well, you'll... Dan?
Oh, sorry.
Do you guys want to fucking spend the next 10 minutes and Spotify some appreciation music, or should we just go with what Daddy put in?
All right, well, let me just kind of segue into this from the swearing, but I wanted to just say thank you very much. First of all, for being wonderful friends and neighbors. I will miss you dearly. I know right away when you guys are...
Okay. See, this is sentimental.
No, this is good. Is this Adele, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful song.
It is. It's perfect. It's the perfect choice.
Monday night ACC.
Right. You're going, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't available on iTech.
So, okay, so back to the regular schedule program. I just wanted to say thank you very much for all the love and support that you've given iTech over the years, both when we were sponsoring and when we've been not as a direct sponsor and the support on your website. And it's meant a lot to me, and I expect to show up at the studio and... look like I'm some guy banging on your window, but I really, really appreciate it for so many years. I'll miss you guys.
Well, that was well spoken.
Oh, isn't that sweet? That's
very sweet.
You know,
very nice.
Mike, it's funny you say that because we got to be friends with Jake across the street, the mechanic who's since left. And I sort of felt a little weird this morning coming in and looking over there and seeing the new name up there, Missing Jake. And
yeah.
I came up the steps thinking, oh, the boys aren't just going to be down the hall at iTex. I'll have to come out of my way to see them now.
Yeah.
Sad. But
well, it's the end of an era. But I say, not only well spoken, but the sentiments are equal on this side. You know, Mike and I have been... how we got to know each other is Mike was a contestant on this stupid game show that I was hosting, that I created. And then we became friends. And Mike, from the first moment I met Mike, we spent days on a set. And I found out a lot about him. He gave his dad, hey... this guy gave his father a kidney.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this fucker only has one kidney.
How's your dad doing?
Great. 9 years this November. He's doing really, really well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow.
That sort of takes, you know, it's like every argument that Mike's involved in can always end with, yeah, well, I gave my dad a kidney. Fuck it. Check, please.
I've never actually used that.
You should. But, yeah. I would.
I'll use that when I get pulled over for the cop next time. You know.
Speaking of Jake,
can you get it back when he's done
yeah.
with it?
Actually, it's funny. You guys must know each other. Howard asked that same question last yeah. time. Hey, I got an idea. Or no, Freddie, was yeah. it you asked that question?
I can't remember.
Anyway, one of the two.
Howard, what?
Yes. Ask the question, what happens, you know, something should happen, can you get it back? And I obviously wouldn't want it back. It's his.
Yeah, you're not a kidney Indian giver.
That's, you know what? I thought of that, and I thought, I'm not going to say that.
No, I say it.
I've said more offensive things on this show in the past anyway, but yes, no, I'm not.
Speaking of Jake, I want to tell you guys a story about what a sweet guy Jake is. So yesterday, I took my car, which had been the tire pressure monitor light has been going on for weeks now, and I knew I had a slow leak in my left front tire, but not so bad that I put some air in it every couple of days, and I was waiting for the opportunity to take it to a place and get it fixed because Jake's no longer there. I said to Jake, I'm going to take it to this place. He goes, oh, don't go there. They will rip you off.
And I think a lot of people there are uncertified too.
So I won't say where it is because that's not
no,
fair.
No, that's not fair.
But I took it to this place, a fairly well-known place that has a jingle and stuff. And I took it there.
Alarm Force.
Yes. I took it to Alarm Force, and they didn't seem to know what to do with my tire.
And then to Sleep
Country
Canada.
And it's weird, as I said, I said, 2001 audio video, could you fix my tire? They're like, get the fuck out of here, Aspind. Aspens.
Cars for kids?
Yes. 187. What is that? 1877 cars for kids.
Yeah.
Donate your car today.
If you got a junker and it's only worth a few $100, give it to them.
But I don't think that's fair because kids can't drive.
No.
The fuck? Exactly. Why are they giving them cars?
Yeah.
So I think we better be better off donating bus passes or shit.
Yeah.
These kids can't. I don't think some of these kids are able to drive. Thank you. I'll be here all week. So I go into this place and I make an appointment and sure enough, I took my car in yesterday morning and all it has is it's a slow leak. It's got a little nail in the left front tire. They take it in the back. I'm sitting there waiting and she comes. She goes, oh, I'm really sorry. We can't repair it. I go, really? Mm-hmm. They're brand new tires. They're run flats and they're 3 months old. Jake put them on. I go, are you sure? She goes, well, and she tried to explain it to me. That it was too close to the side wall, and when they put the bladder thing up, and it sounded legitimate to me.
The plug.
Right? The plug.
Yeah.
I said, she goes, we're going to have to order you a tire. And I said, okay, well, fine. And I had to come, was going to come back today. So as I'm driving away, I called Jake, and I go, hey, Jake, they just told me it can't be repaired. He goes, it's bullshit. He goes, he said, where is the flat, where's the nail? I described it. He goes, I'll tell you so he sent me to the place where he bought the tires for me. Mm-hmm. I was in and out of there in 20 minutes for $33. They fixed it and I was on my way. And I said to the guy, and I said to Jake after, I said, thank you very much, Jake. I appreciate it. I said, why would they tell me that? He said, Howard, I worked there for 4 years. Their job is to sell tires. Mm-hmm. He said, they're not bad people, but that's every day they're there to sell you a tire. Mm-hmm. Now, the tire to replace my tire would be about $275.
I was going
to
guess $300.
Yeah, they're BMW run flats. They're not cheap tires. And it cost me $33 to get that leak fixed.
So if they run flat, why'd you get it fixed?
1877 suck my dick. Suck my dick today.
Figure it out.
I don't think these kids can drive.
So Jake is like a mechanic angel is what you're saying.
Well, you know, it's funny when people tell you, oh, that place, you know, they're just trying to rip you off. I go, really? Are they? But they didn't try and rip me off. They just tried to sell me a tire.
No, no. The thing is, rip off is the wrong term. Like anything else, they're in business to make money. So if they see any opportunity to make more money, they do it. And, you know, I don't know why we think that service industry should be any different than any other industry. Like, we try to sell for as much as we can. You do. You know what I mean?
So you're saying that the mechanics are villains?
No. They're instructed, hey, if a tire comes in and it needs to be repaired and it's sort of in this area, like...
So there's nothing wrong with making money is what you're saying?
No.
No.
Well, then why do people perceive Donald Trump to be such a criminal?
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
What I'm saying, Howard, is...
I honestly don't have any energy left for you and your... but I'm going to tell you something in a second.
No, no, no.
Dear,
but I'm
dear
just,
friend Fred is finished.
I'm just saying, it's tough to say they're rip-off because it's not. They're just trying to make more money, as we all are. Sometimes, listen, if they look at your engine and they want to replace it and it was only a little valve or something, that's a rip-off. But the thing is, something like a tire, because like, I've been in that situation before, too. There are some situations on a tire, if they didn't sell it to you, and they repair it, and it's on the edge, and then it loses air again, and then you go back, and all this shit, they just can't be bothered. It's like, put a new tire in.
Well, and there are spots.
I'm surprised that place didn't give you, replace your tire, not repair it, by the way.
The place, well, the reason he sent me there is it was still under warranty.
Mm-hmm.
And if it had been irreparable, they would have replaced
it. They would have done it, okay.
And I met, then they're great people. I can't remember the name of the company I went to, but I'm going to go there now because now they've become, it's only 10 minutes from my house. The other place is a minute from my house. But it's a place where I can get my winter tires put on. They'll store your summer tires there.
Do they do mechanical stuff?
Yep, they do some mechanical.
Is it close to the house?
Yeah, like I say, it's 10 minutes down the Queensway. My point is, you know, if I hadn't called Jake and sort of told him what had happened, and he gave me the guy's name, and I honestly was in there within a half an hour, and my tire was repaired for $33.
Next time, I spend 33 ITEX and go down the street the other way to the ITEX mechanic.
Okay, listen,
is he that close?
He's on Lakeshore. He's right here.
Oh Jesus!
Really?
No, his name is Peter.
So all I'm going to say to you. Same as Peter. Does he know Russ and Hashana?
The ITEX, those guys, the labor's free, right? The parts you pay for. But
if
that's
you have
still
to order
cool.
A tire. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I got invited. Well, I didn't get invited. I was talking to my ex-wife last night. She goes, do you want to... She said something about, you know, she says, I know you're not doing anything for Rosh Hashanah. I said, well, is that Monday? I said, no, I'm not doing anything. Because it's like, she goes, all the Jews get together and then they put on their party hats. And, woo, happy new year. La, 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 la. No, they don't do la 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 la.
No.
No. Okay. They go, oi.
It's a happy it's a happy song.
Mazel
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And there's lots of food.
Rosh Hashanah is great. Then it's followed quickly, because Jews can't be happy for too long. It's followed quickly by sad times, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement.
Seems logical.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, she said, would you like to go to so-and-so's for dinner? I went, nah, I don't think so. I don't think I'm ready to get back into that Jew scene just yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got out of it. Now they want me back in.
Not digging that scene.
Not digging the Jew scene. Anyway, Mike, here's what I want you to think about. Because I know you want to get into a...
No, I don't.
Scrap it.
I don't.
Listen to this.
I don't want to do it.
Because you're still a young man.
Yep.
What we've learned is this. You got to be less invested in convincing me you're right and more invested into finding out why I think you're wrong.
You sound like my wife.
No, I sound like a man of logic.
No, I'm logical.
Does she support Trump?
She does now.
You gotta get less involved.
So does my wife.
She likes Trump?
She doesn't like Trump. She's not big on Hillary, and she doesn't like all the piling on, too. I don't know. Talk to her. I'm not going to speak for her. Talk to her. You talk to her this weekend.
Just want you to know what I'm saying. I understand why you support Donald Trump. You need to find out why people don't. And I don't think you do.
I know how to read.
No, I don't think
no, no, here's
no,
the thing. One
the
thing
point.
I will say, and again, believe me, I want Hillary to win. I've always got to preface it with that. He said about the taxes, people say he didn't pay taxes. What he said through that was, I followed the laws. I followed the rules, the tax laws. If in my situation, basically what he was saying, I didn't have to pay taxes, well, sorry, change the rules. That's what he said. That turned into he's paid no income taxes.
No, he was talking about bankruptcy when he was saying, I filed bankruptcy, I followed the rules. That's the law of the land.
No, he was talking about the taxes then,
both.
Too.
He said,
it was both.
Yes, it was. Oh, quite clear. And then when he was talking about the housing market went down, and they said, you went in and bought all these houses when people had lost theirs, he said, hey, that's good business. You can't fucking argue with that. How many...
he's so evil in the eyes of the left, isn't he?
Wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, but do you understand why why would that seem... are you at all interested in why somebody would think that was evil?
I know why they think it's evil. Because they think he's profiteering from people's losses.
What, do you think that's evil?
Well, but is there nothing about that that you would find a little bit despicable?
It's a little unfortunate. No, it's more than a little. It is unfortunate.
No, it's despicable.
How
think
is
it
so?
Despicable?
Why? Because at the time, he wasn't running for office. But, he was a businessman.
I know, but it's part. I know, but it's part of a greater thing. You don't think that a lot of people profited off the backs of poor people in that
situation? Absolutely, they did. Well, but that doesn't make them bad people.
Well, what does it make them?
It makes them pretty smart, as far as I'm concerned.
It's buy low,
100
sell high.
Of the top.
That's the basic economic. Buy low, sell
100
high.
Top CEOs in America. Not one of them. These are the best business people in the land. Warren Buffett to Mark Cuban. None of them support him.
Oh, no, no, Howard, I get that. I'm just talking about that. I'm just saying how sometimes the messages can get twisted.
I'm a capitalist. Maybe it's good business. It's just not very, it's not good. There's something weird about that.
Why?
But that's what I think.
I think anybody sitting at this table, it was in that situation where there was a downturn in the market and all of a sudden all these houses were on the market for bargain basement prices. A lot of people did it with Florida homes for their own vacation. So, these people lost their Florida homes and now it's my vacation home. Is that awful?
Yeah, it's kind of crappy for a bunch of people.
Oh,
it was. Millions of people lost their equity, lost their savings, lost their homes.
So what
and
happens?
And he profited
then?
On the back of that.
So then what happens?
Then what happens what? But, a lot
so
of
those
people,
homes then, if somebody doesn't come and buy them, what's going
to
happen?
But I'm saying a lot of people were put in situations that lost their savings, couldn't send their kids to college, had fucking declared bankruptcy, and he was part...
No, that's
listen,
two
I get...
Issues.
I No, it's not a different issue. I get that that's good business, but it was bad business for people.
No.
No one is disputing that it was unfortunate, but if
You're saying it's good business. You're saying he should be celebrated.
I did say
that people like him should be celebrated for being smart and being a... Sure,
no,
we'd all like to be in that position.
You're doing what the media is... We're saying in this situation, when he was a businessman not running for office and there was a downturn in the market, he jumped up and bought some stuff. I don't think that should be held against him. I think most people, given that opportunity... Plus, when you're talking about the people lost all that, that was two different issues. People lost their savings, their 4Ks or 401s and all that stuff. The housing issue, a lot of people jumped in when they shouldn't have. You know what I mean? So it was sort of on their backs that they took on mortgages that they shouldn't have. The 401k thing or whatever, that's a completely different thing. You gave your money in good faith and it was mismanaged.
Okay. So as a business person, that was a great idea. That was a great thing for him.
Not a...
But you're saying
I
that.
Cannot, no, I can understand why he would do it. You'd do it. I would do it.
But it still wouldn't make. It still is not an admirable thing.
Well,
you're
not,
saying it should be held up.
But it's not unadmirable.
You're saying it should be held up as a positive.
Yeah, but you're saying it's unadmirable because the guy is running for president.
Well, you know, you're saying it's unadmirable.
It's not.
Of Hillary Clinton to have let her husband have an affair because she's
said
running
that.
For. No, I'm saying the right wing likes to point out those things as part of the argument. I'm saying I get it that you know maybe that was a great business move for him. All I'm saying is
not
you know
a great business move.
Well, you're saying
just a valid one that a lot of business people would take advantage of. It's like when there's a downturn in the market. Listen, my portfolio can get down $20,000 today, and a bunch of rich guys are going to jump in tomorrow and buy that stock.
Okay.
Is that awful?
But let's put it this way: you're saying that it shouldn't be held against him. I'm trying to tell you that there's a bunch of people that would argue with you. I may be wrong, and maybe I'm not making a good point. The fact is, not everyone thinks like that. So don't be surprised if some people don't think like that and find that a revile and an unadmirable argument. That's all I've been trying to say all morning. You could be right. Maybe I would take advantage of it, but I'm not running for president.
I get that. I get that whole point you're trying to make about I don't think that's the way. It's a basic concept of our fucking economy and what we do is you do it, I do it. Buy low, sell fucking high. That's what the guy did as a businessman.
Fine.
And just because it was homes and he was in the real estate business, I don't think he's this super... He's a fucking asshole and he's done a lot of stupid things. But in that situation, when he came back and said, hey, it was good business.
Fine. Okay. And so at that point, then we move to the point of why doesn't... So there are people on the left that don't think like that. And they're going to...
Fine.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I don't happen to think it was the... Maybe as if I had an opportunity, considering the fucking other shit I've done in business, if I had an opportunity to buy a bunch of homes in Florida... In fact, I remember having that conversation at New Year's. It was me and Fraser and a bunch of guys sitting around. And I said, you know, this would be a great opportunity to buy some Florida property. There's about six of us sitting around in 2007 and 8. And but I wasn't... I'm not running for president. And all I'm saying is not everyone thinks that's the most admirable thing to do.
No, but I mean... Of course, because there's going to be differing opinions.
Right. And that was a pretty shitty time for a lot of lower middle-income Americans. You know, one of the things about that time, and I saw that documentary, whatever, what's that? Well, I wasn't a documentary. It was the movie we saw, The Big Short, that a lot of companies that fucked over a lot of Americans have never been prosecuted. You know, our capitalistic system. This is, I know, not the point you're making. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that time in America, 2008, 2007, and whatever, the housing crisis, a lot of those executives that fucked over millions of Americans, you know, never got prosecuted. It's part of that system that, mm-hmm. you know, the rich are fine. They get richer and they don't pay much taxes. And you say, you know, Donald Trump didn't have to pay taxes. Good for him. Yeah, but not great for everybody.
No, but the point is if he fought, and this is what still is, hasn't been determined through his tax returns or whatever. But if you follow the... Listen, blame the system if rich guys don't have to pay fucking taxes. But if he follows the tax laws through corporation tax laws of the United States and at the end of the day he's not paying taxes and it's by the book... Then,
great.
And he's going to change the system?
Okay, but wait, guys.
Oh, I don't know.
And I totally buy into that. Dan, I get that. But here's my question to you guys. Why isn't he releasing his tax returns? Question, comma, because there's something in there that will not be good for his rep.
Absolutely. And if that's the deal, then that's
first
the
guy
deal.
In 40 think... years of running for fucking president that has not shown his tax returns.
I think it's what Freddie's saying. I think there's something in there that's probably not going to put him in a positive light.
No, Howard,
well, I just said that.
If he didn't pay, mm-hmm.
No, Howard,
if he didn't pay taxes, The optics of a self-proclaimed billionaire saying that showing that he didn't pay taxes. So how is that even possible?
And Dan, what Fred said about that's the system and too bad. Yeah, when I was making big money, when we were making big money, I didn't pay. There was ways for me to hide some of that and shelter some of that
which
tax
you
money.
Did.
Which I did. I still paid more than anybody I knew in taxes, but I could get around and shelter some of that money. And I get that that's what he's done. But there's something in that. Listen, the guy isn't stupid and the people around him aren't stupid. They're not releasing those tax returns. Fuck that audit bullshit.
Know, here's the deal. As I said the other day, when it comes to carbon taxes, when it comes to climate change, all his followers, his cult, his people, they don't care about that stuff. They care about taxes, though.
Well, and
you know what I mean? Because Joe average blue-collar guy in fucking Ohio who pays taxes off every fucking paycheck and it takes a big bite out of him, he cares about taxes. That's why Trump doesn't want to go there.
Yeah.
Well, his platform of 15% is a flat tax across the board. No one can argue that that's a bad thing. Other than if your name is Hillary.
Well, some people can.
Sure they
can. Well, I know, but
when you say no one can.
But it really isn't, though.
Well,
you know who can.
Yeah, smart people at MIT can.
No. Here. Really? Who's arguing? People at the 15% tax bracket right now can argue because it'd be, why should I pay 15 and this big fucking rich guy pays 15? I know prorated. He pays more than me, but it's still not fair.
Well, I don't think it's not a valid argument as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
If it's across the board, how can you know, it's not like, well, the rich are going to get less than the
But
and
the rich have been
more,
paying
you know?
A lot less tax. The one percenters are paying statistically a much lower rate of tax than they should. Now, here's all I'm saying about Donald Trump. The reason they're not releasing that is because we're now a month and a week away from the election. If he releases his taxes and it shows in the last 5 years he's paid no federal tax, then they're going to take that and that will be the end of it because of what you said the other night. What about the money that goes to veterans? What about the money that goes to defense? What about? It will be such an albatross that they're not going to fucking release it.
I think in this situation too, they're talking about personal taxes, right? Not as corporation tax.
I won't even care about his corporate tax, but
no,
personally?
I know, but I think that those were the references when he said followed the rules. That was the corporate tax. The corporate structure of how his business is set up, which applies to us all, and we would all take advantage of.
Absolutely.
What they're talking about here is personal taxes, how he fucked around with those within the system.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why they don't want to release it, because it will be nothing but the story.
And it will also expose his conflict of interests to
listen, Mike,
pretty much anything
that
he's involved in. As a president, he has to disavow himself of all the conflicts of interest and expose more of these.
I'm able to get my head around why someone would vote for Donald Trump. I'm absolutely available to that argument and can make some of them myself. But I'm also available to why someone would not want to vote for Donald Trump, because there's lots more to that gig than just being a bloviating billionaire.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. My issue with the whole thing is that if we go with the status quo, which is exactly what Hillary is, it's the status quo. Their system is broken. The model doesn't work. At least he's going to come in, at least by his own admission, at least he's going to come in and he's going to not follow that same river, you know, all through the flow, all the same.
And then it's funny you say that. Then you look at the status quo, you look at all the numbers over the last 8 years, and they're fabulous under Obama. So what is this shit that the system's broken and we have to get back to to the Bush years?
Yeah, but
the Obama numbers are fucking outstanding.
Yeah,
from top to bottom.
But they're outstanding in some regard, but not in others.
Yeah, but say were the Bush years.
But
they were outstanding in some and not in others.
Nothing could be as bad as the Bush years. You have to admit
they can.
That. Well, that's why Obama looks so good. Well, the numbers are so low, we can only go up.
Oh,
yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. Listen.
Okay.
No,
okay, we'll just shut that down.
No, Mike.
We've been talking for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, no problem.
And I want to put the carpets in your truck.
That's just not a tangible argument because that's all the unknown. The thing is, Barack Obama, on the day he took over, these were the numbers, the tangible, I can touch them numbers, and now look at them now. That's what and believe me, I lean more to the right than the left, but I can't argue. Fuck. It's there.
Fuck.
In black and white.
All right, let's roll some carpet.
Yeah.
I just want to say I love all of you guys. I hope we all can get along as friends and neighbors and colleagues. And, you know, I fucking think that Mike Muzzin is super passionate about what he believes in. He's a fucking great man, a great father, a great friend.
I just wish we were this passionate with our own politics.
Fuck our own politics. Bores the shit
out
of me.
Don't even start me on that crap.
Not all right. Bores the shit out of me.
By the way, I want to declare that I am voting for Donald Trump. I'm going to buy a U.S. vote, and I will vote for him.
Good for you.
You can do that?
Of course you can.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should do whatever makes you happy. Are you happy? Then that's enough for me.
Perfect.
You want to go down on Donald Trump's orange beaver, man beaver? You just fucking do it.
You're ridiculous.
You just
ridiculous.
Fucking do it, man. Take it all in, my friend.
Look at this morning on social media. CNN has just released this. They found Howard Stern tape that has Donald Trump supporting the Iraq invasion after he has spent a whole week saying that he didn't.
Yeah, but you know what? I say no big deal. Wasn't fucking running for president. He can say whatever the fuck he wants. Honestly. You know, but the same way that you
have
to...
Well, that is 14 years
ago. But you have to give Hillary a pass on, you know, her husband doinking some intern in the Oval Office. That
wasn't her. She didn't do it.
She didn't do it. Okay? Let's all fucking try and get along. God damn. Dan Duran?
Yes, sir.
Great having you and your giant member in this studio again. It was wonderful. Dan Duran's... He should have... Dan Duran's dink should have its own iTax account.
Sign it up. Let's do it. Services rendered.
Seriously, you want to talk about... You want to talk about rolling up carpet? And that guy pulls back the giant foreskin. Fuck.
Yeah, you should rent it out with the jumpy castles.
Are you not?
That's right. Come on, kids. We're going to bounce on Dan Durant's extended foreskin. Fucking fun. Come on, Daddy. All right, fuck it. That was a good drum break. Pick yourself up off the side of the road with the elevator poles and your wind flash tones. Members only, hypnotizers move through the room like ambulance drivers. Shine your shoes with your microphone blues, your suits with your parachute boots.